This is the Xbox One Patriots postgame show with Mark Bertrand.
Left foot forward for the quarterback, takes the snap, retreats in the pocket, under a rush, throws across the middle, touchdown, Rob Gronkowski! He spikes with emphasis!
The Patriots postgame show is your source for instant news and reaction following every Patriots game.
Smith from the gun, under pressure across the middle, that pass to the near side, picked off, a juggling interception, and it's the rookie Logan Ryan on the run, to the 15, to the 10, to the 5, into the end zone! Touchdown, Patriots!
Join the conversation by calling the Ace Ticket Hotline at 855-PATS-500 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com.
Shotgun snap to Taylor, eludes him and careens into the end zone, and Chandler Jones picks it up, and Chandler Jones has a touchdown!
Now, live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios, here's your host, Mark Bertrand.
Welcome to the Patriots.com postgame show presented by Xbox One. I'm Mark Bertrand, joined alongside Paul Perillo, Andy Hart. Preseason game number two in the books. Patriots win 42-35, the final from Gillette Stadium tonight. A lot of things to get to. This was a long game tonight.
Yes.
It was a
That's
long
what happens
game.
When you have a lot of flags and turnovers and scoring.
Yeah. A lot of things happening in this game. Your biggest takeaway from this game?
My biggest takeaway from this game.
So how long are we going here?
You put me on the spot there. Why doesn't Paul go first?
Well, Paul, you go first.
The biggest positive I'll say was just the offense in general, and I'm talking about the first offense. You know, with Tom Brady, the timing looked good. Andy made this point during the telecast. Wasn't just Julian Edelman. Obviously Gronkowski's not part of the mix. You saw, Amendola get involved. You saw Kembrell Tompkins with a nice back shoulder fade. You saw James Devlin and Andy get all kinds of excited.
Woo!
My biggest takeaway, Beetle, was I thought the offensive line protected much better than last week, and the timing of the offense looked just like we expected it to look, the way we have come to expect it to look in practice.
Yeah, I certainly thought it was going to – when it started out, I believe the first third down went to Edelman. I think the second third down went to Danny Amendola. I liked seeing it diversify from there. I think that was interesting. The turnovers, both sides were meh. You're throwing to a tackle playing tight end in Steve Mannary, who's been here for like 2 days and whatever. And then the other side of the ball, they're hitting Daron Harmon right in the chest. They're hitting Nate Ebner off a shoulder deflect.
Yeah.
I will say, your boy Paul, Malcolm Butler, had legit forced turnovers. And I really liked the first one because I don't think Butler would have forced that without the hit from Hightower. And we talk about it all the time. These defenses, Seattle, they swarm to the football and first guy gets the man. And we want to have that. And we're talking about this defense being better. That was an example of that maybe happening, and that's how you end up with one play for the other team, and all of a sudden you're racking up drives and putting points on the board. Things can snowball. Just ask Peyton Manning, who apparently I may have taken a shot off on national TV.
Manning Nation tonight.
You were on the NFL Network tonight.
Kind of forgot about that.
Yep.
Yeah, and
hopefully
defensively,
Archie wasn't watching.
Defensively, the reason why I went with offense is because they got to play. The defense played fine.
Right.
The first string defense played fine. But they didn't get a whole lot of snaps.
But you saw some plays.
Oh, yeah. No,
your boy, Ninkovic.
The first snap, they forced a turnover. And then the second one, I think they allowed a first down. And then Ninkovic came up with a big play on
Correct.
Third down for a sack. And I think they were done from there. So it wasn't like the defense played badly. They played well. But, just by a point of comparison, the offense had, I don't know. It seemed like a ton of snaps.
Which is good
for the
offense
than I thought.
To play well, because if they have to punt, apparently that's a problem.
Right.
81 plays.
Yeah, I was just talking about the first offense. Mm. I don't much care about what happened.
In the game, though, 81 point. Plays. The point about the offensive line, I think, is a good one. I feel a lot better about it tonight than I did before this game. It feels like they protected a little bit better. Like there was improvement this week from last week, which I think was a big plus. Because
in the first half, I only thought there was one play that was some pressure, and Brady had when Brady was out there, he got flushed a little bit, and there was a penalty on Phil. It was a failed third down, but there was a penalty, of course,
on
the Eagles, and it ended up being a first down by penalty.
There was also, I remember the
a penalty
right at the end of the first half, Garoppolo.
Oh yeah, no, Garoppolo and Mallett.
Just first team.
Yeah.
Yeah, later on there were plays, but for the first team, for when Brady was out there, yeah.
Because Mallett was actually under a lot of pressure during the second half when he was in there.
And I will say, based on last week and this week, I think the one thing he did well last week was move around in the pocket a little bit and step up. He still looks a little, it still looks like he's doing a drill.
Who are you talking about?
Mallet.
Mallet, okay.
He has the two hands on the ball in front of his chest and that wide base, but he moves around, steps up in the pocket better than he definitely did a couple years ago. And I think that's a strength of his. Now, he had one later in the game where he sort of that shuffle step up, and then threw it, I think, to Finch out of the backfield in a nice little throw. It's that kind of stuff is the reason why I think Bill Belichick will keep three quarterbacks and Ryan Mallett will remain the backup. Because I know people are going to say, oh, Jimmy looks great and Jimmy makes plays. I thought Jimmy looked a little flustered at times. I thought he kind of got antsy back there when there was a little pressure. He had threw a couple wobblers. One ball down the right sideline was in the air forever. I'm not sure that'll work against a lot of defenses and a lot of corners. So I think after the performance tonight, while a lot of people will say, well, Garoppolo took the second snaps and Garoppolo led them to scores and looked good, after tonight watching this, I think Ryan Mallett's the backup quarterback.
Performance aside, though, Garoppolo did get the second.
Correct.
Was in there second, and I wonder if the head coach was surprised by that at all. But aside from that, sorry, Paul, I had to say it. I just had to say it once.
We asked you not to.
I know, but I had to. I had to say it at least
once.
Okay,
well, you're done.
All right,
No, damn at least, you're done.
I won't say it again. I promise I won't say it again.
When do we get to... I thought you did like the good, the bad, and the ugly.
We're getting there.
Okay.
We're getting
there's
there.
A lot of
that's
bad we need
up right
to get
now.
To. For what I think was an impressive game, there was a lot of bad to get to in a lot of areas.
Their performance aside, it was significant that Garoppolo was in there second, in my mind.
Sure. I don't know, the significance, though.
A lot of people will immediately say, well, it's because Mallett didn't practice a couple of days this week, so it's no big deal.
I think it was what Belichick wanted to do.
Yep. Right. What's the significance?
The significance is that they wanted to, the thing we talked about in the pregame, Andy, which is they wanted to get Garoppolo in there with some legitimate players still in the game.
Correct.
That's
but what does
it
mean?
Wanted.
But my guess is that was decided about 2 months ago.
Right.
It means they wanted to get a legitimate look at him to see if he could be their backup. And I think they're going to try and find that answer.
Right.
I think
and I'm saying after watching tonight, 2 weeks into this, Ryan Mallett's my backup. And I've changed my tune a little bit there because
in the pregame you were with me, we were cutting.
Well, I shouldn't say my backup. I think my backup would be Jimmy Garoppolo. My prediction for their backup, I think, is going to be Mallett, and I think it's the
two different things.
The confidence in Mallett to run the offense, and I even though Garoppolo's making plays, I'm not sure that confidence is quite there yet with him.
855-PATS-500 is
what
the phone number,
Paul?
For you.
Three quarterbacks, two quarterbacks.
I think they keep three. I mean, I mentioned it on the telecast. I just think, we talked about it last week, and we kind of disagreed on it. I do think that there's an element of that it looks different. I think Garoppolo has been impressive in the games. I don't think he played as well tonight as he did last week, but he was certainly, as Beadle said, was asked to do a lot more this week than he was last week against a higher, much higher level of competition. So,
and keep in mind,
I think he acquitted
himself
well.
That defense was very good all week in practice against Brady too. You know, compare the weeks
didn't
of practice.
Didn't play well tonight, but
no,
he played well
but all
during
week,
the week.
They gave Brady a hard time, so whatever you think of the Eagles' defense, they were a lot better on the practice field all week than the Redskins were a week earlier.
Yeah, I agree. They were much more competitive, and Brady was frustrated at times this week in practice. Garoppolo, statistically, it's going to look great. I don't think he played as well as the stats show tonight. I thought one of his biggest completions was a really kind of wobbly floater near the sideline to LaFell. The second touchdown was not intended for LaFell.
Well,
by any means.
I don't think it was. But.
Just judging by the conversation with Belichick.
I thought it may have been, and it was just a horrible decision there.
Well, I mean, it hit somebody before it got to LaFell.
Yeah,
I thought he was throwing a Maneri, personally.
I'll have to look at it again. At the time, I thought, wow, that's a bad decision that I think worked out.
You know, Andy said if it didn't get tipped, it would have been easily defended, if not picked off.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, I thought LaFell was covered.
I thought he had made a bad decision try and get it to LaFell, and somehow it worked out for him.
Well, I think the deflection caused, it was almost like when a dropped kick causes the big return. The deflection caused the score because I think it threw it out of whack. I think he was shooting from an area across the middle though.
855-PATS-500 is the phone number for you. 855-PATS-500. Webradio@patriots.com is where you send the email here on the patriots.com post game show presented by Xbox One.
I just want to say, even though I don't think he played as well as last week, doesn't mean I think he played badly. I think he shows some real promise. I like his athleticism in the pocket. There were times I thought he moved around in the pocket a little bit I don't think he had great presence as he was scrambling tonight. And I didn't think he had great presence last week either. He avoided the sacks, which is obviously a good thing.
Paul hates Jimmy.
Well, I thought the play right before the end of the half that I was going to mention when things kind of broke down and he went to the far sideline, I thought he did have some decent composure on that play to get out of the pressure. Nothing was made of it on the play, but he continued to look for something downfield. Even as he was running, I thought he looked good on that play, even though nothing came of it. Let's get to the good, the bad, and the injured from tonight's game.
Now it's time for the good.
Nice!
The bad.
F***ing don't talk to me, all right? Knock it off!
And the injured.
I've fallen, and I can't get up.
On the Patriots postgame show with Mark Bertrand.
I guess the voiceover guy doesn't know that Paul and Andy do the
Hello!
Postgame now.
Get Rob on that.
We're national freaking TV stars here.
I wrote all the copy, and I just refused to acknowledge their presence. This is your show.
All right.
Well, then we'll just leave.
All right.
Go back to being your show.
If they're going to leave, you need to change it. We don't need them leaving.
We don't need to be doing a solo
well,
show.
We don't need to be doing the solo show again. This is a much better program this year. The good. What's your good this week coming out of this game? What are we going to look at from this game and say, that was a good thing?
Well, I would say the quarterback
play. We hit on a couple of them.
Yeah, we have already.
The offensive line, the running game, the committee. Now, there'll be some aspects of the running game where I'll get into later that I'm going to need a definition, by the way, the difference between bad and ugly, specifically as we get to some of these other points.
It's not ugly, it's injured.
Oh, okay. Excuse me?
Wow.
Maybe if you paid attention, I would know more.
He's done FaceTiming.
How was our guest on the pregame social?
We're not doing that for preseason.
Oh, well, we always have.
Not for preseason.
And they were always good.
Since when do you make executive decisions?
As the executive producer?
Since this year.
Yeah, I'm just waiting for that line to come.
He's not the executive producer.
Oh, what is your title?
That big promotion I got, Paul.
Dimwit.
Where were we?
I don't know. What was it?
The good.
Oh, Malcolm Butler, his guy.
And you need definition.
Malcolm Butler playing three quarters, two forced fumbles, a fumble recovery, as he continues to just jam his way into the mix in the secondary.
Yeah, I would agree with all of that, obviously. We talked about the offensive line. I'm still a little bit puzzled by some of the different combinations in the
use of an $8 million left tackle as a tight end.
Yeah.
Blocking tight end.
Yeah, I'm a little now they played well tonight. I thought the protection, as we talked about right off the top, was much better. They ran the ball extremely well, as Andy pointed out, getting a lot of different guys involved. Brandon Bolden, the guy we haven't seen much of this preseason, jumps in there and he made a couple of plays. So there was a lot to like about the different elements of the game. One turnover early and I'm not even concerned about that because it's a ball that Brady throws to Steve Mannieri, clearly a guy who just got here and turned the wrong way. So yeah, I don't even necessarily put that on the bad list. That was just
Doesn't
a play that
sort
happened.
Of prove, you know how we always say Brady throws to the open receiver or whatever? He might actually do that all the time because
he wasn't open.
No, I know, but the guy who by the read is supposed to be open.
By the read, yeah.
Because there is no way he should be looking to Steve Mannieri as like his primary option on any play ever. And he did. I don't care that it's the preseason. Steve Mannieri is a blocking tight end who I said to you, Paul, off the air while we were in there, if he's throwing to him ever, the season went down the crapper.
Yeah, it was another one of those reactionary Andy Hart comments.
Well, if he's ever thrown to Steve Mannieri, the season went down the crapper. I'm sorry, you had a bad turn somewhere.
I'm not sure Steve Mannieri's going to be around to throw to.
Probably not.
No,
probably
we'll just throw to Nate Solder, our $8 million left tackle.
Okay, I'm going to
throw.
Don't have to worry about it.
Well, it's getting pretty chippy here early on, guys.
And I don't even know why.
I don't know why either.
A lot of good stuff.
A lot of good stuff.
Roy Finch? I thought good bounce back for the youngster. Put the ball on the ground
you
last week.
You love Roy Finch.
I like Roy Finch. I don't love him.
But when a guy fumbles twice,
I like the bounce back effort, both as a ball carrier and on the return game. And I think Josh Boyce is in trouble.
I was about to say, what's the deal with Josh Boyce? Because, we'll get to that in the bad, Kenbrell Tompkins and Brandon LaFell both provided some contributions tonight. Paul mentioned back shoulder early, right? Had the touchdown, which I don't think was a touchdown, by the way.
Oh, I do.
I thought it was.
You thought it was?
Yeah, I thought it was the
really
call on the
close,
field.
As a matter of fact, ESPN's showing it right now. I thought it was really, really close, but I think you had to go with the call on the field. I thought it was a touchdown, but The thing I really liked about it, Beetle, it wasn't just,
he ran open, he got separation
or whatever. That was a play that requires some timing and some rapport between the quarterback and the receiver, and that's a play that we didn't always see out of Kembrell Tompkins last year. I like that play.
I like that one.
Was it before or after that we saw him fall down after?
Before that, he fell. He still does things that make me scratch my
head.
And
the sideline play where he couldn't get his feet in?
No excuse
for not
getting his feet.
That's Kembrell Tompkins in a microcosm of his whole career.
He didn't even get one foot down on that. Both feet were in the air, and he didn't get them down.
He has no body
control.
Just no consistency.
Brandon Lloyd would have made that play. That was the only thing he could do.
Yeah, and then yelled at me.
Yeah. And he fell down all the time.
So he had that going for him. He yelled at you.
But Tompkins and LaFell, I'm putting on the good list. And LaFell, listen, that touchdown we just discussed was like a mistake that it ended up that way. But the fact that he's big and he's physical, I think he was able to make that play.
And he caught it.
And he could. He made the catch and he had
in all seriousness, the question coming out of Carolina are the drops. That's why, and it's interesting, I didn't know this. The total degree to which they overhauled their roster at wide receiver in Carolina, they didn't have a guy who'd caught a single pass from Cam Newton coming back. And they didn't have to break the bank to bring Brandon LaFell back. They decided they didn't want a 50-catch receiver. There's a reason for that. Now, whether their scouting report is right or wrong and knowing their own talent, the fact that he was catching the football is good to me. The more he can do that, the more consistently he does that, the more faith the quarterbacks will have in him.
Yeah, they are still, I mean, not to branch off into the Panthers, but Marty Herney really put them in a bad spot in terms of the cap. So, I mean, I understand some of those things, but he did not break the bank. But they lost a lot of guys. They lost a lot of guys in the offseason.
No, I know.
That's why a lot of people think that the Panthers are going to take a huge step back.
If you want to sign, if you can't sign a $3 million deal, then you can't play. I mean, they released Steve Smith. If they you're going to tell me they couldn't financially bring Brandon LaFell back?
I'm saying that they probably thought we could do this, but maybe our precious few dollars might be better spent because this guy's too inconsistent.
Well, that's my point. I think they didn't want him.
But you know my theory. There's no such thing as a cap casualty. If you want the player, you
and
re-sign the player.
That's my point.
But I'm just saying
a team that
they
had no receivers decided they didn't want him because I'm guessing, based on all the fans we hear out of Carolina, drops.
I agree. The bottom line is that if he were more consistent, I think Ron Rivera would have forced the hand and made sure that was it Gettleman, right? Dave Gettleman, their new GM?
Yes.
Carolina?
Local
boy. We'll see them next week.
Can we include in the bad Tom Brady trying to make a tackle on an interception in the preseason?
We're into the bad.
Why is he doing that?
We're into the bad?
Why is he doing that?
We're on the bad. I was going to ask you defensively, what stood out to you defensively tonight?
Stood out to me defensively.
Outside of Butler.
I don't know that it's a good thing.
It's so weird,
but
they played so little.
Kyle Arrington, you know, just noteworthy that your safety was Kyle Arrington, and then he bumps down into the slot in sub packages. You bring Patrick Chung in. Patrick Chung could have his own whole game here of good and bad and everything. You know, good, he lays a hit on a play that gained 30 yards downfield, and on the bad, he also gave up a touchdown where he couldn't match up with the guy. And I'm not saying he should match up with that guy, but coverage is going to be an issue for him, and he's looking more and more like either the starting safety or a significant contributor at safety, and what does that do to this defense? I don't know.
855-PATS-500. That's
to turn the microphone
time,
on, not
first
off.
Time I turned the microphone off this season.
I love when you do like the multiple button thing. Like, how do you keep track? Why would you hit it six times and have to count in your head on, off, on,
I'm not
off,
sure.
on, off?
I'm not sure.
It's like a nervous tick.
But I did. Let's start with the bad. Let's get to some of the bad tonight. Brady on this tackle early in the game on the pick six play, Kerry Williams. What is he doing there?
Well, the worst part of it is, A, don't chase him. Go run down, stay on your feet, and just kind of get in the way. Don't even think of a tackle.
I didn't even want him running down.
But
he might pull a hammy.
You missed the tackle. Like, if you're going to go all out and dive, well, then I guess you might as well make the tackle.
I mean,
didn't even do that.
I've seen Tom Brady not make as good an effort to make a tackle on a pick six as he did tonight in the regular season.
Right.
What on earth?
You know who made less of an effort?
In August, is he thinking about?
One of the guys down the sideline. It might have been Forston on the play down the sideline where nobody.
On the screen play?
Where he just went like this and waved at him on the way by.
Yeah, he was like,
he made
the
less
wrong
of an
way
effort than Brady did on this interception. So that's certainly bad. Tom, don't do that.
Yeah, I didn't like to see him put himself in harm's way at all, and thankfully nothing came of that. Bad.
Not to mention it's Kerry Williams, right? He might have tried to kick him.
Oh, yeah.
A cheater. yeah. kick him in the throat as he went by.
I like how the crowd started to boo with it being Williams going into
Andy
the
talked about some of the stuff with the special teams. You had a snap go through Ryan Allen's hands. You had a punt blocked. That's pretty bad. You don't want to see any of that stuff.
Scott O'Brien got some work to do. Scott, to you.
Maybe a bigger issue in terms of the long term. Tight ends continue to be a problem for this defense. The middle of the field, I thought there was seam rub. Now, Philadelphia has good tight ends. I mean, Celek, Ertz, good players. Even James Casey. You know, these guys that can catch the football. But I thought there were guys running open in the seams for big plays again tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Six catches given up to tight ends.
You know why? James Anderson wasn't out there. He's our coverage guy in the middle. Jimmy. Jimmy they forget about.
Jimmy.
Yeah, on the bad might be Dan Roach calling the backup rookie quarterback Jimmy like he's Tiger or Shaq or somebody that's first name worthy at this point.
Jimmy to James.
I've got good news for Andy Hart. Someone you were very excited about pregame today would be, who was it, going into this game? You were ranting and raving about Jimmy Devlin.
James
Rob
Devlin.
Gronkowski?
Oh, phenomenal.
James Devlin will join us here on the Patriots postgame show presented by Xbox One.
You're welcome, Andy.
How you like that, Andy?
Well done. It's
about time. How you like that? He'll be coming up with us. Injuries. Who was injured tonight?
I did see one of the trainers talking to Belichick at one point. I have no idea who was banged up.
I didn't see anyone get injured.
It's never good when Jim Whalen comes over and talks to Bill in the middle of a game. He got in his face. Whenever he needs his attention, something bad is happening.
But I don't know. We were looking at the offensive line.
Our sideline reporter didn't tell us.
We were sort of talking by process of elimination on the offensive line. But then we saw everybody either in the game or on the sideline, all accounted for. So I don't know. I don't know who it was or if anyone, but hopefully it wasn't anything serious. And we got to see Darrell Revis tonight, by the way. He did play a little bit.
Cameo.
I think that would qualify as a cameo.
Not much to see, though. Didn't get to see him for very long.
I didn't really want to see him for very long or do really very much.
You want to put him in bubble wrap, right?
Not bubble wrap, but the Moss treatment. I'll see you in week one. Catch you in Miami.
Nah.
Peace.
Before we talk to James Devlin, let's get to the phones. 855-PATS-500 is the phone number, and we'll start with Andrew in Buffalo. Hey, Andrew.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up?
Nothing much. Yeah, just saw this game, and it's pretty crazy. You should tell what's the guy name that always wants Randy Moss on our team?
Eldridge.
You know Andy. Who's the guy?
Eldridge. And we got him.
Yeah.
His name's Brian Timms.
That big catch by Brian Timms that he did the Randy Moss touchdown celebration. That was pretty funny.
Yeah, and that's his idol. I don't know if everybody's aware of that. If not, you can read about it a little bit in this week's Patriots Football Weekly. But Brian Timms grew up idolizing Moss, signed with the 49ers out of Florida A&M to be with Moss and learn from him. They had a good relationship. Moss, he says, taught him a lot, and he's a big Moss guy. He even looks like him. I said this to Paul.
Yeah.
He does things on the field where he struts, and he has the mannerisms of Randy Moss. I don't know if that's by design, if he freakishly studied him as a kid or whatever, but he likes the celebration, too, the little separation.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited. Hopefully they'll keep him on the team and he can contribute. Another one thing I wanted to talk about was Jameel Gary. Number 31 on defense. I seen that he was in the red zone defense, and he made a play on fourth down. He made a few plays down there, but I'm just wondering how come they didn't put him in any other situations where we can see what he can do? Because he seemed to have that build where he can come in the box and maybe make plays.
I mean, I don't know a whole lot about Shamil Gary, but he has not gotten many, if any, reps with any of the regular, I'd say the first two groups at all during the summer. So I would say that he's well down the depth chart. I'm not going to pretend to be able to give you a complete scouting report. I do remember the play you're talking about. It was the big fourth down play. I know who was out there playing at that time, and for some reason Chip Kelly decided to hand the ball to a wide receiver, four plays in a row from inside the one. But that was a pretty impressive goal line stand. I don't care if it's fourth, fifth string players. It's theirs against yours, and you were able to win down there. That was pretty good, and it was nice of them to keep us away from overtime.
But he is
going long enough.
Yes.
He is
certainly,
even though I would assume that Philadelphia would have gone for two there.
He is certainly well down the depth chart. And you have to remember, in a goal line situation, there's a lot of bodies in general that get in there that you don't always see in a traditional defense. For example, the first quote unquote goal line, I don't know if we've seen it in preseason action, includes Nate Ebner. And I'm not sure how many fans would say, oh yeah, Nate Ebner's in the first group of defensive backs or defense. So Gary, probably not going to be around all that long.
No, I wouldn't expect him to be around.
Liam's in North Carolina. Liam's up next. Hey, Liam.
Hey, guys.
What's up?
Hey, first off, great to see Andy and Paul on TV finally.
Well, thank you.
Down here on the NFL Network, although one of the bad things is NFL decided to switch to the Seahawks game right in the middle of you guys talking in the middle of the fourth quarter. I wasn't too happy with that. They obviously don't realize who was on TV at the
time.
That's
right. That was some of the most insightful stuff we had, too. Sorry.
Oh, I'm sure it was. It was finally a chance for you guys to get to talk. you guys are already hit on most of the points, but I think just the rookies in general tonight really showed that they've got a lot of heart and they can actually play. A lot of guys from the rookie class just seem to be really turning it on, at least in this game. And I think that was one of the better points tonight.
Yeah.
Anyone in particular stand out to you? Which guy did you like tonight the most? Butler, obviously, with the turnovers, but.
The running back there is White.
James White, you liked?
Yeah. Yeah, I really liked him. I thought he really, I mean, maybe not the best running back out there, but definitely showed a lot of push, a lot of heart, and really fought for every yard he got.
Liam, I got to put you on hold there just for 1 minute. Joining us on the Ace Ticket Hotline here on the Patriots postgame show presented by Xbox One is James Devlin. He is joining us right now on the program. Hey, James.
How you doing, Dev?
Not as good as you are. Now, should we refer to you as a blocker or a playmaker in this offense now?
You can just refer to me as a fullback, man. Nothing more than that.
Are you enjoying, though, as a defensive lineman now, you convert to fullback, you do a lot of blocking, but this summer you're getting some opportunities to catch the football. How much are you enjoying that?
It's a little different, and I'm definitely enjoying it, but I'm just glad to be out there, given the opportunity to go out there and, do my job and do it at a high level, and I'm just grateful for this opportunity, this program, and it's a blessing, man.
James, I'm curious, how much experience did you have playing offense before college? I mean, did you play a lot of offense in high school? I would assume Belichick talks about fullbacks, probably played defense at some point in their lives. Did you play offense before you went to college?
I played a little bit of tight end at high school, and then when I was at Brown, I played, maybe like four or five snaps my senior year at tight end and fullback just situationally, like on the goal line. So I had some offensive experience, but nothing too, crazy. And then, it's just been a learning curve and trying to pick it up as fast as possible.
How much did you know coming in tonight that there might be an emphasis on trying to get the ground game going early and that you'd be blocking or have sort of all the running backs getting sort of the rotation through the reps there?
Yeah, I mean, we tried to establish the run, and I think we did a pretty good job of that. And, we're just trying to get out there and do our job. And, our whole stable of running backs ran, extremely well tonight. Ridley was out there fighting for, strong yards. Green showed his flash, and Brandon Bolden was, quick. James White's out there, had a solid night. I mean, all these guys, even the young guys, they're all just out there, doing their job, doing it well. And glad, I'm glad to see them having such success.
What do you take more pride in, James? I'm just curious, because we've watched you, we've had a chance to be at all these training camp practices. We don't normally get to watch you guys practice. So we watch you go through all the drills and stuff, and you catch the ball extremely well. But I know from talking to you that you really enjoy lining up at fullback and getting to be that lead blocker. And tonight, you guys, as you mentioned, you ran the ball a lot. What do you take more pride in?
I mean, as a fullback, I take pride in, being the lead blocker, trying to go out there, set the tone, and, line somebody up and get a good hit on them. I mean, that's the whole name of the game at fullback, kind of, not really a glorious position, but you're in there doing the dirty work, and I really enjoy that. I love contact. But, I mean, any opportunity that I'm given is, what I'm going to be taking pride in that very moment. So if it is out there catching passes or, doing anything, that's what I'm going to be doing, and just try to help this team, man.
James, this time of year, obviously every time you hit the field, whether it be practice or a game, is very important. A lot of guys are fighting for jobs. But do you feel like a preseason game offers you a little bit more opportunity to prove something than just a regular practice during the course of the week?
Yeah, I mean, there's a certain level of intensity, you know, when you get out there in a game situation that you can't really replicate at practice. I mean, you know, it's fully live and, you know, you're bringing down the back. And so everything's just a little more intense. And I think, you know, that's very valuable, you know, to kind of see guys out in that circumstance where, you know, there's live bullets out there. You know, it's not practice anymore. So I really do think that preseason is a very valuable tool for guys to go out there and show what they got.
Now, be honest. Do you wear the neck roll because you need it or it's badass looking?
Both.
Yeah, I'll make sure I point out which one Andy is, James, at practice on Monday, because I think you might have to take out a restraining order. Andy was Andy was the high school fullback. I know we've talked about this
he
before.
He has a small man crush on you.
He's got his little high school fullback thing, and he takes a lot of pride in everything that you do because you're bringing fullback back.
That's right.
There's nothing wrong with that, man. Fullback love all the way.
James Devlin, couple of catches tonight, a touchdown as well. Patriots get the win. James, congratulations, and we'll talk again soon.
All right, thank you very much, guys.
Thanks for the time.
Good job, James.
See you, James.
James Devlin joining us here on the Ace Ticket Hotline, here on the Patriots.com postgame show presented by Xbox One. Little bit of both. Great answer.
It was a great answer.
Yeah, it was
happy
good.
Now, Andy?
I am happy.
That's courtesy of Kevin Collins hooking you
well
up
done.
Tonight, Andy.
And the PR department, shouldn't we throw a little love
there? Oh, no, I mean, that goes without saying.
Okay. Yeah, big ups to Mike Girovati for helping me out with that.
It's actually Girovati. I believe it's a soft J.
Soft J.
Yeah. It's like yogging.
It's yogging.
But in all seriousness, now, I know I'm making more than this, but do you get the vibe he can be an aspect of this offense?
Yes.
Is it preseason
or
what kind of an aspect?
No, I'm not saying
like
eight
saying
catches.
Like,
I'm saying
you're saying like Mike Allstott?
No. I'm
a
saying
guy that you look back in a year and you
Mark
say, you know
Edwards.
What? I'm glad we have that guy on the roster. Even if it's a limited role,
I think
he was a valuable guy to have.
I think he could be like Mark Edwards, yes.
And I'm not saying more than every once in a while you say, if you sleep on him, I'm gonna throw it to him. Now I'm not looking to Larry Centers it and catch 100 balls and any of that crap.
No,
I'm saying don't sleep on James Devlin.
I think he could end up with, you know, 15, 20 catches before
and
the season's over.
Maybe three of them are touchdowns or something,
sure.
You know?
Sure.
I just think he can be one of those guys that helps. At some point, he helps.
Well, yeah, I agree with that. Listen,
for more than just blocking.
The reason I was asking him some questions about his offense before college is because when you watch him catch the ball, Beadle, you would never think that this guy was a defensive lineman.
No.
In college. He goes through a square drill that he looks as fluid catching the ball as some of the wide receivers do. And tonight, that touchdown catch, it was for
Shane,
a big...
If Shane Vereen could do that, we would have had about four more big plays.
I mean, big guy. Now, a wide receiver would have just put his hands out in front of him and caught
but
it.
He's not a wide receiver.
This is what I'm giving him credit for. He's a big, bulky guy.
Plus, he's
with
got the neck roll. That limits
so
what you can
sort of,
do.
But he had to sort of turn it. What do you got there? You got pizza?
Mid-sentence in live radio, Paul says...
Oh, pizza? This is not as real.
You actually would have done that if we were still talking to James Devlin, wouldn't you have?
No.
Hey, Jimmy, what do you got there?
How long are we going to a break, though?
I mean, Andy, you must have at some point in your football life,
you know
someone
right
who just
the door.
Can do a lot of different things.
Sure. Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Like just these tremendous athletes where if you said, I need you to line up and play this position, they could figure it out in like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Right? And you look at them and say, what a freak. Like, how do you do that? And he's just one of those guys.
But I will say they've had guys that they've sort of tried to move around in the past, and you look at them and you say, that guy couldn't do it. This guy, he didn't look right doing it. And he, right from the first time, we saw him doing a little tight end stuff in that way back in the spring, OTAs. And you watch him do these little square drills. And I know it's not much. People are looking at it like, really? Like a ball boy's throwing the guy and you're making a big deal of it? It's the way he catches it that, to me, separated him and showed you, like to Andy's point, maybe he is a guy that could be a part of the offense.
Well, I will use a counterexample. There was a guy by the name, I believe it was Ricky Bryant, maybe not, wide receiver out of Ohio State. You know, big-time university, and he's a wide receiver at the Ohio State University.
I remember
him. He comes
him.
Here, and he runs the square drill, and he goes like one for four.
Yeah, Ricky
three
Bryant.
Of them just batting off his hands. Thank
Ricky
you very
Bryant.
Much. So
Justin Jones used to go
everybody.
One or two for four every time, and he was a tight end.
I'm sorry, I'm going to eat pizza.
And I say was a tight end because, you know, he was cut.
Before we take a quick timeout, let's go back to our buddy Liam in North Carolina. We cut him off for James Devlin. Hi, Liam.
Hey, guys. Just to finish that up, Butler and Timms, I hope Timms makes a team, like the last caller said. I really want to see what this guy can do. And then James Devlin, I think he could be the complement to Gronk. You know, put him in where that other guy was and really see what he can do. I love James Devlin. I think he's a great addition to this team. I've loved him since he came on the team, and I would like to see him shine. And thanks, guys. Great game, and listen to the podcast later.
All right, thanks, Liam.
Even while wearing my James Devlin jersey,
started.
I'm not sure
we
I can say he can James compliment Devlin. Gronk. He can be a factor to help this team win some games and do productive things, and that's good. You know, he's a Belichick player. You know, the more you can do, he'll cover kicks, he'll block somebody, he'll be the third blocker on a wing, he'll catch a pass occasionally. I shouldn't eat while I'm on the radio. But let's not go too far. As much as I do want to... He should sell jerseys, by the way. You know, as cult figures go, he's a pretty cool cult figure with the neck thing and the
neck
roll.
Now you're selling it a little bit much.
I didn't say a lot.
We've already said we like him. Why do you have to sell it to this degree?
Because this is
what we like him already.
I'm sorry. I work for the
team.
I'm trying to sell some jerseys.
We already like him.
It's going to be Gronk light now because you said...
That's what I'm saying.
Why are we going to make a shirt for James Devlin? You watch. He's going to come at you like a pit bull.
No, I'm just saying.
It is Gronk light. He's going to be Gronk light. We're not talking Gronk with you anymore, ever. New rule.
Look at him.
And I don't want you to get to the... I don't want you to get to the point where we have to cut you off on James Devlin, too.
No, he'll be fine.
Okay.
He's a nice player.
All right. We'll leave it at that. 855-PATS-500. That's the phone number for you here on the Patriots postgame show presented by Xbox One. 855-PATS-500. One open line right now. If you want to grab it, emails coming in. webradio@patriots.com. Keep sending those as well. We'll be back with more right after this.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown! Ha-ha!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
We're NRG, and we're a new kind of energy company. One that's hard at work making the most of renewable sources of energy. One whose solar energy is helping power football stadiums across the country. One that's developing new technologies that can one day turn your home into its own source of power and put you in charge of how you use it. We're putting that power into your hands. NRG, the power to change life.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, and much more, including Pro Shop exclusives and sideline gear from Adidas, Nike, and New Era. The Pro Shop is located next to Gillette Stadium and is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop, your team, your store. Welcome back to the Xbox One Patriots postgame show, live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Have an opinion on today's game? Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 855-PATS-500 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, here's your host, Mark Bertrand.
Welcome back. Hit it once.
What are you talking about, Andy?
You and your tick or whatever it is. Do you do that at your real job?
No, I don't have a cool little button like this.
You don't have a button at all?
I do, but it's not like this. It's a little bit different.
So you only do that here on the
I only do that here because it's a little so easy to hit.
And then when that stops working, you're going to wonder why.
I'll just say it's not my fault. The button doesn't work. Someone fix it. Welcome back to the Patriots postgame show presented by Xbox One.
Did we even conclude? Like, I feel like we got James Devlin and then pizza arrived and we just went right off the railroad tracks.
No, we're good.
Okay.
We're good right now. Getting us some emails that are coming in. We're going to hear from Bill Belichick coming up in just a short time. Here's a question that maybe you guys know the answer to. It's not something I've noticed. Going to get to a lot of these emails. Tom wants to know if the football itself, the NFL official football,
the Duke,
is darker than last year. Are they doing something different to the ball?
As soon as Paul finishes chewing, he has something to say.
Paul might know something about this.
I don't know anything about it, but I absolutely have made the observation.
You have as well.
Yeah, the ball does look darker to me, and I don't know if it's something that they're preparing the ball a little bit different, if they're using a different grain of leather or something. I don't know. But
now I'm gonna like. I noticed
it with Jimmy.
I'm just gonna stare at the ball now.
As Dan calls the ball him. Jimmy.
The ball is darker.
I don't know if I noticed it as much with the others, but now, when Jimmy
least,
had it.
At least the balls the Patriots have been using, and I don't.
How about this random Tennessee, New Orleans game?
I can't see the ball.
Well, we'll take a look here. We have one on the monitor here.
Boy, Mettenberger threw a dart for a long time.
That looks like a dark ball. Now that you say that.
You're so full of crap.
Yeah, dark balls everywhere in the NFL. Well, Tom.
Dark balls.
Easy. We'll look into that.
Easy. Talking about footballs here.
Sam says, great to see you guys on the tube here in Chicago. Andy and Paul are sounding too reserved. They're not their usual five energy selves. Well, they got to, you know.
I get that complaint a lot on Twitter.
A little bit more professional when you're on the TV side of things.
People are like, you sound so much different. You act different on TV. Yeah. Do you want me to make booby jokes on national TV?
Yeah, we can't do that there.
I mean, there's a certain level of professionalism I'd like to think we should be expected to bring to the broadcast.
Yes.
Especially when working with Fourier.
Oh.
Who drags us down.
Oh.
I'm just kidding.
Okay. Brett writes in from the Bay Area. Love the show, guys, and all of your Pats coverage out here in California. He's hoping that we can make the trip to the San Diego game so that he can buy us beers. He says, you should ask Fred if you can make the trip. The baseball winter meetings are in San Diego at the same time. Same weekend.
We are going to be there.
You're going?
Well, we're coming back for the game.
So you're going and then coming back, and you'll be here for pre and post. I think you guys should stay out there, and I'll meet you there, and we'll do pre and post in San Diego.
That actually, I don't know about your part of it, but that actually could be, we've talked about it. We've talked about doing the show from out there. I don't know. You know, I don't know what the huge advantage is myself, but, you know, I'll take a December trip to San Diego.
And I'll tell you what I'll be doing. Going to visit the panda bears at the San Diego Zoo.
That's nice. Nick in British Columbia writes in, great show, guys. Just a big F you to NFL Network for laughing at the Bob's Discount Furniture guys.
Wait, this is taking an ugly turn. Okay. I didn't know they were mocking us.
I got a lot of feedback that they agreed with the Bob Discount.
Yep, and then he says, Nick writes, God forbid if you guys get some insight into a game instead of nothing from the NFL Network. So he's sticking up for you.
Okay.
Big time.
I appreciate that, but I don't really appreciate getting mocked and ridiculed.
And I thought Mariucci said he agreed with us. Now,
that's what I was told on several tweets.
My problem is
blowing up.
He's a bit of a clown. So if the clown is mocking us, it's not good.
I like Mariucci.
Cody in Illinois.
He's also a bit of a clown. You can like him or dislike him, but he's a bit of a clown.
Yeah. He was a pretty good coach.
Cody writes, I loved what we saw from Devlin in this game. He was great. He tore it up out there like a Tasmanian devil or a Tasmanian Devlin. Wow. You like that one? Here's one of many emails about Tim's. Tony writes, Tim's in, Boyce out. They're going in opposite directions.
I think Boyce is out. I don't know that Tim's is in, but I think Boyce is out.
Well, I think it's Tim's and Finch could be in and Boyce out. Because the kick return duties, if you like Finch, because he's been getting the early reps in two games now. This could have been a game where all of a sudden you say, okay, the starters are playing, so Boyce is going to be my kick returner here. And he wasn't. You stuck with your youngsters and gave Finch more opportunities. Maybe those two guys kind of steal that role.
Tony also brings up something that should have been on the bad list. He says, is Ridley allergic to the ball? Another fumble tonight for Stephen Ridley.
I actually, yeah. When we were talking to Devlin about the running backs, and he mentioned all of them, that I actually said we should add Ridley to the bad because I know it wasn't a fumble, technically.
It was a fumble.
He was down, but
you got to hang on to the
you
ball,
can't,
man.
You can't be losing control
especially
of the ball.
Him. And if Ben Jarvis Green Ellis does that, you go, well, you know, it wasn't even a fumble.
And that's why everybody talks about, he doesn't have any more fumbles. Because there's a lot of them that don't count.
Right, they go out of bounds.
He loses the ball too much. It's just plain and simple. He loses the ball too often.
And did you see how much he wanted to get back in? He actually ran back on the field for like three steps and then realized they weren't calling for him. He knew it. I mean, he knows it. It's a problem.
Ben in New York actually wrote this email about an hour ago. He makes the point that Andy just made. He writes, hey, guys, as of right now, I can see Boyce and Bolden being replaced by Timms and Roy Finch.
Well, the Bolden one is interesting. I'm not sure.
Yeah, that was not part of your point.
Because, I am not a big Bolden guy. He had that nice run tonight. He had the little hesitation, good burst to get to the outside and kind of cut down the sideline a bit. I just, the lack of consistency from him in terms of just reliability. There's always an injury or a suspension or a this or a that. And you need somebody. I'm not sure James White can back up Stephen Ridley. But I'm not sure I love Bolden backing up Stephen Ridley either.
Oh, I don't. That's why I still think that there'll be another running back that's not on the roster currently.
You think Bolden could be one of those carpet guys where he makes the final cut, quote unquote, and then 2 days later he's cut?
I think he could be
right
one
out
of those.
From underneath.
And I think in my latest roster projection, which hasn't been printed, I don't think I had him on. I don't think I had him on. But you know,
that was a horn from a Mack truck. If you didn't get it,
it sounds terrible.
Because the only person that can promote their own things is Andy.
See, I could barely tell the difference between me and that soundbite. I mean, it was like same.
Mike Reese tweeted out evidently Belichick and Kerry Williams had a nice embrace. after the game on the field. I thought that was kind of interesting.
Like embrace. A choking embrace? Reese
called it cordial. Appearing to be cordial. Little chat.
Yeah, but I feel like it could be one of those that's like a smile, and as you pull them in, you say, go bleep yourself, you bleeper, 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 bleep.
MF-er, you right. know, one of those things.
Before we go to Belichick, I know ahead. We'll go to him later, but yeah. The broadcast was on in the background with the, what do they call that? The, what do they call that for the deaf people?
The closed captioning.
And a couple different times with Belichick, it said inaudible. And I was wondering how many times they type that when he just grumble.
You know what that reminds me of? Because I actually saw that too.
How does this
chuckled.
Come through?
But, right.
How does that come through on the closed captioning?
Some things we could have done better. But it reminded me of the Frank Caliendo bit from last year.
That's good.
And I just saw that recently. He had a special on the other night, Caliendo on ESPN. But do you remember that when he was impersonating all
the coaches?
He did. He had Ditka,
Gruden,
and he has that like that favorite Gruden. It's just. He does the Belichick, and he has the cutoff thing, and he has the dog. Yes, it is, Mr. Brady. Mr. Brady. And then he goes back, and it has the closed captioning. It just says inaudible.
Well, that's what it said tonight on the real one.
Inaudible.
And then he does the Jim Harbaugh, and he gets up. He's just, like, pouting. And I love the Jaworski and the Adam Schefter, too, that Frank Caliendo does. I've just received word that Richard Sherman is, in fact, running for the President of the United States.
And the Jaws one is like, I just watched 72 straight hours.
No, it's more like 152 hours.
Let's go back to the phones. 855-PATS-500. That's the phone number, 855-PATS-500. Johnny's in Duxbury tonight. What's up, Johnny?
How you doing, boy?
What's up? How you doing?
Got a quick couple of notes right here, then I'll let you go. First of all, I want to say, hey, Tom Brady, you're the second best looking quarterback on this team. Jimmy G's got to call that. As Gruden calls him, the Italian stallion just doesn't have it going on the field. Ryan Mallett, on the other hand, he's about to be flipping burgers come week one. I'm ready to take Stephen Ridley out to pasture. I'm sick of it. There's too much running back depth on this team to mess around playing his games. I don't want it. I'm not saying cut him. I'm just saying I want limited reps for him. Give James White, give Shane Vereen some time. What else do I have here? I said Chip Kelly here. He needs to demand that Olympic track sprinters work the chain gang. Like, he can see if Jeff Dempsey is still on the market, because they could have gone a lot faster. Those fat asses out there on the NFL crew, they're too slow. What else do I have? Andy, during
yes.
the broadcast, you mentioned that you love short white guys. Well, let me tell you, I love big grizzly lumberjacks like Rob Ninkovich. This guy's got a motor and a half. I love it. He's going to be a beast this year. Before I leave, Brian Finn's the second coming of Jerry Rice. Go, Pat.
Johnny and
Is Dex that a regular friend. Caller?
Yeah, he called last week, too.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
I don't recall.
Post-game caller. I like it.
That was a good call. I'm not sure I really
I don't agree
care
with most
fact.
Of it, but I like the way he
his
delivered
his great out, delivery.
Part of it. And little, he uses notes.
It was a little Chester-like. I like that. You
Clearly
know?
Uses notes, though. Consulting.
Well, yeah, definitely does. He comes prepared.
Yeah.
I appreciate Johnny and Duxbury.
If I can wing it on national TV, you can wing it on this low-level post-game show.
Johnny, keep bringing it.
What else I got? Wait a minute. Where did I lose my place?
He's like Barack Obama. If the teleprompter goes down, he's got nothing to say.
Keep coming back, Johnny.
But Don't no, I did appreciate the call. I would question, he said, with all the depth at running back.
Well, that's one of the things I disagreed
like
with.
There's a lot of depth at running
just
back.
The
no, there's a lot of guys on the roster at the position right now.
I really
now.
Don't
Like,
even
Paul
think
likes
that.
Jonas Gray.
I don't.
Jonas Gray, 98
like Jonas
yards
Gray.
Tonight. Jonas Gray, baby.
Well, Andy had the comment of the
he
night.
Had 98 yards?
Yeah, 98
before
yards.
Before his zigzag touchdown run that got called back for a penalty, Jonas Gray, he stinks.
And it's kind of hard to watch
the
game.
And then he refused to admit that it was a good run. He said it was a huge hole that he ran through.
Makes it hard to watch the game when you're broadcasting the game.
Gray, Ridley,
he had
Finch.
98 yards.
Yeah, 12 yeah, carries,
I wouldn't
98
have,
yards.
I wouldn't have thought that he had that many yards, but I would have thought he would have had 65, 70 yards anyway. He
Especially
had,
since
he
that one got
runs.
Called back.
98 yards in tonight's game.
How many
Gray.
Total rushing yards?
250 as a team.
250.
250. 45 from Ridley, 37 from Finch, 27 from White, 21 from Bolden, 13 from Boyce, 9 from Mallett.
That was a good run by Mallett.
Yeah, 250 yards.
His pocket presence, as Andy already pointed out tonight, was pretty good tonight.
Much improved.
And he also looked like he enjoyed himself. You know, you mentioned, Paul, off air, apparently. When Garoppolo went, it kind of looked like is Mallett sulking, pouting on the
yeah.
sideline?
Yeah.
Well, when he did get in, he, well, it's on air now. When he did get in, he seemed to really enjoy himself and get a nice little boost out of kind of running the show and doing things. So
I think he got a little bit of fire under his butt with Garoppolo going in first.
Maybe. I was really disappointed. He had one throw late, I don't know, sometime in the fourth quarter where he stepped up and just absolutely zinged it down the right seam, and it ended up being incomplete. But it was like prototypical. Had he completed, I could see Mayock saying, see, that's why he's a starting quarterback.
It was a nice throw.
Boom.
It was right on the money, too.
He had a couple of those tonight. He actually threw a decent right after the goal line.
Wait, was that when they were at was that when they were backed up on the goal line?
No.
After
no. It was after
a
turnover
there too.
I want to say after the Ebner interception, the first play was from around midfield, maybe their own 45-ish.
Yeah.
He threw a laser about 35 yards right down the middle. It was a little high.
Yeah, a little bit, but
was it Tim's?
Might have been. I think it was Tim's.
I think it was Tim's he was going for.
Might have been Boys. I don't
know. Might have been. We go to Justin in Virginia next. Hi, Justin.
Y'all are great, but I was watching it from play by play. I just want to know who looked better, Ryan Mallett or Garoppolo, because the stats look kind of iffy. But I'm gonna let you guys go. Thank you.
All right, Justin. Thanks for the call. I would say that Mallett looked better tonight.
I would too, but I would also say, as I said last week, that Mallett played against the lesser competition tonight.
Yep.
He just looked more comfortable tonight.
Cut him. Get him out of town, Andy.
He just looked more comfortable tonight. But I would agree with you, Beadle. I thought he looked better.
I thought he did look better, but at the end of the day, my opinion has not changed very much.
Which is weird.
I still don't think he's all that very good. I don't think he's all that good.
I kind of agree with you, and I just coming off tonight, I feel better about him as a quarterback running the offense, but I would still cut him.
After watching two preseason games, I feel like Garoppolo and Mallett are a lot closer to each other than I ever thought they would be at this point.
Well, and it's what I argued with Paul.
Remember we talked about this?
The rate of improvement.
Degrees of suckitude, or however we put it.
And I think Garoppolo is an ascending talent, and I don't just mean, you know, 4 years from now. I mean next week after that, you know, kind of a quick ascension to more competitive backup. So I just would invest in the future is now, and it's Jimmy Garoppolo.
With that being said, I think this team is maybe the word is budgeted for the third quarterback spot. Like, they drafted a guy as a rookie that they knew they were going to have on their roster.
Right.
Taking him in the second round. In their mind, they probably went into this season thinking, we're going to use three roster spots on quarterbacks.
Well, how about, you know, we're talking a lot about these rosters in decisions coming in October. Well, maybe Mallett sticks around for a month and they continue to practice Garoppolo and say, you know what, he can run the offense. He's pretty good. And when those decisions start to come down, all of a sudden, Mallett's out.
Here's a roster.
You know,
spot.
Tim's is on the roster now instead of
five.
Mallett. Right.
Yeah. Interesting point. Let's go to Balarco.
Yes, Balarco. Paulo.
Am I saying that correctly?
Balarco.
Yes. Balarco.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Balarco.
He's Indian.
Chronic listener.
I know that Paul likes callers to be a little drunk, so I drank some booze. But today it was a long game, but I'm very satisfied because I'm a bit old school with my with the way I like my offense. I like rushing. And I called PFW a few days ago because I was very disappointed with the rushing attack. And because they only rushed for 63 yards last time. Today they rushed four times that. That is 250 yards, so I'm very, very happy. And I'm also very happy that Ryan Mallett saved some of his dignity because I didn't want him unemployed. I thought that if not for this season, he would be unemployed next season. So I'm glad that he played this way. That's all I wanted to say. Good night.
Good night, Balarco.
Thank you, Balarco.
You
Good
might
stuff.
Also be happy because you drank.
Good stuff. I thought that was a big point of emphasis this week, clearly, is improving the running game a little bit. It was against a team, not to be the wet blanket here, that is smaller, a little bit more athletic, and you can run on them. You
right.
can run on the Eagles. So, you know, preseason is one thing. Opponent is also a factor here.
855-PATS-500 is the phone number for you. 855-PATS-500.
Can I give you a quick tidbit off of the Twitter machine,
Andy
likes to call it?
Our buddy
Jeff Howe tweeted out a little while ago, Nate Solder did not leave yesterday's walkthrough due to injury. He had a pre-approved personal appointment.
That's kind of what I was thinking.
Yeah, it just didn't look like he was walking like someone who was injured.
And everybody jumped right to the injury conclusion, and I said, oh, well, why is he walking off with, like, an assistant trainer? Maybe he needs somebody to let him into the locker room, for all I know.
Kerry Williams said he apologized to Belichick after the game for his prior remarks. That's also from Mike Reese. And that's all I got to say about that. Because I couldn't find the other tweet that was related to that.
I want to delve a little bit
that's
more
all
into
I
this.
To say about that.
Extra tight end.
That was intentional.
Tackle.
You do realize
I do know that.
Oh, okay.
I do.
Did you done
that day on? I was going.
I was running.
I was running.
Jenny.
You guys done screwing around? We're going to talk some football.
Me and Jenny's like peas and carrots again.
Apparently the answer is no.
We're having a moment, okay, Andy?
It's my Jenny.
Relax.
What?
Just having a little fun.
No, I would like to delve a little deeper, a deeper dive here, as Fred Kirsch likes to
say. Just try not to make it in the shallow end like Fred usually does.
This whole extra tight end tackle thing, just trying to wrap my head around it.
I don't get it. And I thought we
is Nate Solder so much better than Marcus Cannon as an extra tight end that you can't just have Solder stay in and Cannon be the tight end? Like, I don't get it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really understand it myself.
I mean, I know Nate Solder used to be a tight end, and he's got the build and all that, but he's your left freaking tackle who you just committed $8 million to for
guy
next year,
in,
seven
now,
and change.
Good hands.
He does have good hands.
Good hands.
And what happens when he blows out his ACL as the blocking tight end?
I'm just telling you, he's got good hands.
Well, I wouldn't necessarily say don't do it because of. I mean, if he gets hurt blocking as a tight end as opposed to blocking as a tackle,
what's the difference?
I'm not. You know.
You're not used to it.
The better one for you.
Oh, stop it. That's ridiculous.
As I like to say to Fred, you don't even believe your own crap. If he blew out his ACL
Fred,
catching a pass,
you don't even believe your own crap now.
Now you got something.
No, I just more don't really understand why Solder, I mean,
I don't know why
Cannon couldn't do it, and you're now guaranteeing Solder misses plays, because when you go eligible, you got to go back out and come back in, so... I don't like it.
You're officially on record non-liking it.
I don't get it.
When you're eligible, if you go back to being not ineligible, back to a regular lineman, you have to come out for a play, correct?
Yeah, that's what I mean. You're guaranteeing
so you could
he
bring
misses
in,
plays.
So you could bring in Cannon as an eligible and just take him right out.
Right.
And stick with your same five offensive linemen.
Right.
Right?
Right.
What are you doing?
Paul doesn't deal well with that kind of stuff. Guys whispering in the background and in his ears, and you're talking to Kevin, and Kevin's talking. It throws
Paul
off.
We're just doing radio.
I mean, that's
just doing radio, boys.
Monitors.
That's all we're doing. Just doing a little radio.
Public service announcement.
Let's go to
Andy. Will not be part of the broadcast next week. I'm going to kill him during the course of this week.
Let's go.
We didn't have any of those issues this week. I thought on TV. I thought we were very good.
It sounds like you guys had a good broadcast.
You know,
what's
funny, Beetle, is we were getting criticized. Andy and I were getting criticized this week for not looking at the camera.
Even though we've been told to look at each other and be conversational.
Bring the energy level up.
Bring the energy level up and converse with each other. They're kind of patterning it after the TNT pregame show with Shaq and those guys, where they don't look at the camera. They just talk.
And the NFL Network people said, I know the TNT pregame show. You guys are no TNT pregame show.
Oh, mooch this.
You guys see that awful announcing tweeted about you?
Oh, God.
Is that true?
That is true.
Get on that.
What did they say?
Nothing says preseason football like the Bob's Discount Furniture Studio.
You know who's getting their money's worth? Is Bob's.
Oh, they did. Bob's is crushing
Bob's
it,
is getting huge payoff.
You guys
on
should
this.
Get a new living room set or something.
You're
for all
damn
this
Skippy.
Does this end
all
with
this
the old,
pub?
Does this end with the old fat guy? Because I'm going to really have my feelings hurt.
We're going to get some furniture for ourselves right after we get an Xbox One. They're going to set up the whole
yeah, but we didn't get
room.
Xbox One,
I'll
national
you,
TV
I'll
exposure.
Tell you what. I got to hand it to Dunkin' Donuts. They come through every week, right?
Yes, yes.
I mean, Dunkin' Donuts delivers. We get Dunkin' Donuts anytime we want. Xbox One, we got to get one of those. That's what we need next.
Yeah, that's what we need down here to distract us even more. Paul will have pizza and video games.
Pizza, video games.
Shut up,
I'm
playing here.
And a comfortable chair.
Right.
All set up in the
corner. Only thing he won't have is a microphone
we'll
in front of his face.
We'll never hear from him ever again.
You know, I can't understand you guys. I get made fun of for talking too much, and now I get made fun of for not talking enough.
Pretty much.
You're a character on a TV show. I mean, on a radio show. And TV show, pretty much.
Let's go to Tim. He's in Phoenix. Hey, Tim.
Timmy.
Hello, guys.
Yo, Tim.
Hello.
So, Tim, we'll be seeing you in, what is it, about 6 months now when we'll be seeing you out there?
What, in San Diego?
Oh, I thought you were in Phoenix.
I'm in Phoenix. We're not going to Phoenix.
The Super Bowl, dimwit.
Oh, that one. Yeah, oh. I already got my kidney on leash, so I will be selling that to get to the game.
That was good luck.
Just when you sell it, do it north of the
border. Idiot.
Well, yeah, of course, north. They get more money up north.
Good news is if you leave, it's easy to get back in. You just come running across the border again.
not too funny. I did want to say that I was in the Navy for 8 years. I was lived in San Diego for 4, and we had to learn all about flags. Let me tell you about flags. There was a lot of flags. I don't like them too much in this preseason. What's going on with that?
Don't worry, they'll be gone in 2 weeks. They're going to rein it back in. They've already said that.
I keep hearing that, and then that goes back to the unsportsmanlike conduct that was called in the first quarter.
That was on Bill Belichick, I believe.
That's what I figured, and wasn't he basically yelling about flags?
No, what? He was yelling about the guy catching, who was that on the deep ball?
Julian Edelman caught a deep ball on the sideline, and there was pass interference on the play. The referees ruled that it was an incomplete pass and said that the Patriots would accept the penalty. Belichick wanted them to look at the play. He thought it was a completion, and I think there probably would have been a couple more yards, but I think he was upset that they didn't really give it much thought. They just said, well, they got the penalty anyway.
Right.
We'll put the ball
and
down there. And Bill ref, went absolutely ballistic.
The ref that was standing out of bounds on the play, or had the best view of it, went to signal catch, saw the other ref signaling incomplete, and immediately just started going incomplete.
And I thought it was
originally
a catch. I thought
signaled
it was a catch.
Catch.
Yeah, I don't know how you guys
he went to put up the arms and pull him down, and then all of a sudden he froze when he looked at the other official who was signaling that it was incomplete. And he, oh, yeah, incomplete, incomplete. Like, oh, man, talk about getting convinced that you were somehow wrong when he was right on top of the play. Now, I didn't get a good look after the fact. Was it going to be a good catch or not?
I thought it was.
You thought it was a good catch. Okay.
But, if that were a real game, that's a bad, bad thing for Bill. A, you're arguing for 2 yards and end up costing yourself 15, but you lost your cool. And, we talked about it this week. Logan Mankin's talking about they don't fight because in a game you do something stupid and you cost your team. Well, that's a case where the coach cost his team.
Yeah, and it was a preseason game, and I get it.
Guys, and I think Bill is doing that for a purpose. As well as everybody else, that he's not going to do that in the regular season.
I don't know that.
I don't, because
personally,
Tim,
I don't know that.
How many times has he got a penalty in the regular season?
He doesn't, but what he did, though, in the game tonight was not all that different from what he's done before when he's berated a ref.
And by the way, they're cracking down on that. That's a new point of emphasis this year.
I wanted to back up. That's great.
They are cracking down on any verbal confrontations on the field. You can get flagged for yelling at your own teammate. Coaches can get flagged for yelling at officials. They're going to be more quick with the flags from now on.
Now, I happen to think that they will sort of cut back on this flag-happy nature the way they have talked to us and said that they would. But Mark and Andy are right. This is something that they want to target. So this is the first time that Bill has had this. So saying what's happened in the past is not really relevant. It's what's going to happen. I don't expect Bill to go that crazy over something, to me, that amounted to less than 5 yards.
And it may be intentional. And the official on that sideline, during the next timeout, spent some time chatting with Bill Belichick. And he may have said to him, listen, you use the F word. If that happens in the regular season, that's one of our new
automatics, a buzzword.
We're going to throw it. And now Bill knows.
Back to something you just said. You can now be flagged for yelling at your own teammate.
Yep. If I call you a dumb bleeping, if it's racial, homosexual,
and
referees can flag you for arguments within your team
words
that are inappropriate,
right,
which I think is the dumbest thing ever.
Personal file, 69, office. He's giving them the business.
To me, that's what the coach does. That's what captains do. That's what, the hierarchy of the team should be handling that. I don't care for that at all.
No, I don't either. But
you don't talk to me, all right?
So if you just yell at a teammate, it's not like you're going to get flagged. It's what you say if it's inappropriate.
But if you're going to have that, why not just make a carte blanche like rules? Since they're all about black and white, can't have any gray, just make the rules. If you use the N-word, if you use the F-word, if you use the H-word. I don't know if that makes even sense, but what I mean?
I get it.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you use, though, like automatic, just give them a list. You know, kind of like the list. You can't have jerseys made with, Randall Gay on the back.
I don't like it. I don't like legislating that kind of stuff. Listen, this game didn't need any more emphasis. And one of the things that Matt Chatham talked about today, about the officials that I actually agreed with,
Was it a valid point?
One of the things he said that I actually agreed with.
21 accepted penalties tonight, by the way.
And it had to be at least another dozen that were declined.
How many times did we get illegal hands to the face in this game? I think 7.
Well, that's a new point of emphasis, too.
That's the one. 7 times.
That's the one that's bothering me. This looks like one of those things that you could literally call on every play.
Oh, you could.
Because when does the face mask not ever get touched? But anyway, the whole emphasis on offense and the fantasy football stuff and that. And you're a fantasy guy, right?
Yeah.
Mark?
I like fantasy.
Why is it? Is it that much more enjoyable to play fantasy football if you win? And I think I talked to you about this before, but if you win, I don't know, 150 to 140 as opposed to 110 to 100?
See, for me, it's not. Like, it's all the same. I'd rather see a good game first, and then fantasy is fantasy.
No, but what I'm saying is if fantasy is all you care about.
Yeah.
Don't you just want to win your games? Well, like, what's the difference if you win the game?
That's
by
how
scoring?
I feel.
Like,
but
everybody's saying, well, they got to increase offense. It's fantasy football. Your boy Felger likes to throw that out there, and I just don't understand the correlation. We know that the points are at an all-time high. 4 years in a row, there's been a new record set for points scored in the NFL. This will be the fifth.
Here's why
that make it better for fantasy football?
I'll tell you why. Because you have fewer players, Paul, that end up with 0 points in a given week. So you can fill out a roster and say, every guy on my roster is going to get some points this week, as opposed to a guy who some weeks is involved and is in his offense.
Does that make it better?
And
that's
making
what
five
I'm
catches and a touchdown versus some weeks he's not as involved and he doesn't have any points. Whereas if there's more offense, there's more players every week that are putting up some points and are getting on the board, and it's giving fans something more to follow and keep an eye on. That's how I think that plays a factor.
Yeah,
I don't know if it's any more enjoyable, but it makes it to
that. I'm just giving you my personal
opinion.
I don't get it because maybe it's just because I'm not a huge fantasy football player, but I don't really understand. I think that I would just want to win the money.
But the penalties
don't help. If I was in fantasy, I would just want to win the money.
Like, the penalties don't give you anything in fantasy. What they're trying to do is change the way defensive
the
players
game is played. Yeah, no, I get that. Game. Yeah, because that's the knee-jerk reaction. Well, penalties aren't helping fantasy football players, but they are. Because it's changing the way the defensive players are allowed to play, and that's going to, in turn, lead to more catches, more yards, and more touchdowns.
855-PATS-500 is the phone number. Some open lines for you right now on the Patriots.com postgame show presented by Xbox One. We're going to hear from the head coach of the Patriots, Bill Belichick, coming up next.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go. Go. That's it. Come on. Kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks,
and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
We're NRG, and we're a new kind of energy company. One that's hard at work making the most of renewable sources of energy. One whose solar energy is helping power football stadiums across the country. One that's developing new technologies that can one day turn your home into its own source of power and put you in charge of how you use it. We're putting that power into your hands. NRG, the power to change life.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today. Have a hot take on today's Patriots game? Hit up Mark on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 855-PATS-500 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, back to the Xbox One Patriots postgame show, live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Here's your host, Mark the Beetle Bertrand.
And Andy Hart and Paul Perillo, the greatest national TV analysts ever and making Bob's Discount Furniture very happy.
Welcome back to the Patriots.com postgame show presented by Xbox One.
Sorry about that. I just pulled a beetle.
I thought you were like an expert in radio and television. A guy doesn't even turn his mic on.
Turn it on.
I believe Bob's Discount Furniture now trending on the Twitter machine.
It is. There's a lot of tweets out there.
That is pretty funny.
A lot of tweets. People across the nation learning of the Bob's Discount Furniture studio tonight.
We're going to get one of those things. You know how they always do it, like at the Super Bowl? Like, we're going to get a Darren Revelle, according to Twitter, like 9,000 Bob's tweets per second during the Patriots game.
You're going to have one of those scrolls where people can, like, tweet into the Discount studio and have them scroll across the bottom.
Not sure we need
don't
that.
We don't do any of that. We dabbled with that a little bit last year.
You did?
Yeah, it petered out after the first quarter.
Let me say this. The Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football needs, giving you personalized fantasy news, highlights, stats, and scores across multiple leagues instantly on your TV. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to life, now available for $3.99 at a Microsoft store near you. That's Xbox One. Yes. Let's go back to the phone lines before we get to Patriots head coach Bill Belichick. Let's talk to Pat. He's in Agawam tonight. Hi, Pat.
What's going on, guys?
Pat, we won't forget you, man. When we go national, we won't forget you. You've been a big-time supporter of the PFW boys.
Thank you, guys. Hey, if I can, I want to rip each and every one of you guys.
All right, screw you, Pat!
I want to make a point, and I want to ask a question.
Proceed.
Okay, so first the ripping. Mark, Beetle, just by looking at you, everyone knows you like fantasy.
Go on.
It's actually role-play fantasy that he enjoys.
Oh, well, we know. Number two, Andy, what the hell is the H word?
Oh, I can't say it.
Say it.
If I said it, I wouldn't use the H word. Rhymes with Tony Romo.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Who's the pussy now? No, that's the P word.
That's a P word. All right, what's mine?
And finally, Paul, you know, you guys have Xbox One as a sponsor, but if they had Xbox One and Miller Lite, you would never hear Paul.
That's true.
All.
They would still complain that I talk too much, though.
Because you do. Because when you get drunk, you're all right.
Once you get on the Miller Lite.
I am a happy drunk.
You're
maybe
a chatty drunk.
Drunk.
Good. It's a good place to be.
The point I want to make is number one, well, it's the only number that I have.
We're going to go drink.
It's the only point I want to make. I know it's only preseason, but, you know, when the regular season starts, I really hope that we don't see a lot of the vanilla read and react defense. I hope that, you know, we see a little bit more of the attacking defense, the more aggressive defense that we haven't seen in the years past, that we saw a little bit earlier in, like, in the early 2000s, 2003, 2004, 2005. Now, I wanted to know what you guys thought about that. And the question I had is, if Dustin Keller and Jamarcus Finley are available week two of the regular season where they don't have to guarantee their contract, and they really don't do anything at tight end, do you think we'd pick one of those guys up?
Well, to start with that question, I think it's all about health. If the guys are healthy enough to play, as a Bob's Discount Furniture commercial plays in the background, if they're healthy enough to play, I think they'll play. I think they'll consider it. But I get it. Not Finley. We've said this a million times, and I don't know how they feel, but the back injury, the neck, the spine, all that, I'm not interested. Keller, I'm more interested in if he's healthy and can contribute. But we've moved on. Now we're on the Tony Gonzalez bandwagon.
Yeah.
What was the first question?
I don't know.
Oh, aggressive defense? Yeah, I think you're probably going to see a little bit more aggressive defense. I think that's the nature of the business when you have Darrell Revis and you add that type of corner. But I will say one aspect, Gerard Mayo is something, if he's not out there, that might limit some things you do because everybody says he is the great, like, settling force on the whole defense and telling everybody what to do and everybody feels better. Now, I expect him to be out there by all accounts. Everybody that's talking about it says it's not an injury issue. It's sort of an off-field issue, nothing major, and he'll be back soon.
And I also think that when you play from well ahead, last year they had a lot of close games. Even though they went 12-4, a lot of those games were close. And I think that you can get a little bit more aggressive when you're playing with the lead the way they did back in those days. Remember when the games were over, Andy?
Or even 07.
Oh, yeah, well, they
ask Mike Vrabel.
They did it all the time.
Mike Vrabel
12.5 sacks.
Got 12.5 sacks and maybe even all-pro because they were playing from ahead, essentially.
Yeah. Thank you, Mike Vrabel.
Yes. You're welcome, Bill.
Let's get to Bill, head coach Bill Belichick, after this preseason win here in preseason game number two against the Eagles tonight. Here's what the head coach of the Patriots had to say.
Okay, I thought that I thought we played a lot more competitively tonight. I thought the team did a good job out there overall. I mean, certainly not perfect by any stretch, but I thought we showed some aggressiveness in the running game. Defensively, we knocked a couple balls loose. Made a couple plays there at the end of the game on the goal line. So, there were definitely some positives. You know, moving the ball, scored some points. Still, a lot of things to work on. They do a good job. Philadelphia does a good job offensively. You know, Chip puts a lot of pressure on the defense. There's certainly some things we could have handled better on that end of it. I feel like we kind of kept them in the game with those two big turnovers in the first half. But, we hung in there and battled and made some plays. I think the big thing I think I would say is just the team played real competitively tonight all the way through from the first quarter to the fourth quarter. It wasn't always great, wasn't always perfect, but they battled and played hard, and we need to do that. So.
Bill, do you see the value for the regular season of the number of flags that are flying out? Where is it starting to be done?
Yeah, I'm just trying to coach our team. I'm not worried about what everybody else is doing. I'm just trying to coach our team.
But as you're coaching the team, do the number of flags flying?
Just look, I can't control that. I'm just trying to coach our team.
Coach, were you pleased with the way all three quarterbacks played tonight?
We'll take a closer look at it tomorrow. Well, I'm sure there's some things that were good, and there were some things that need to do better. So, but it's always good to see 42 points up on the board. So that's good. But, you know, there's a lot of guys involved
that's
in
good.
That. You know, I thought we ran the ball well. I don't know, we had a couple hundred yards rushing or whatever it was. And so. Yeah, I was trying to get it myself. Yeah. So. Yeah, all of the above. Yeah, I was trying to get clarification myself.
So you mentioned the turnovers. That's something special. When you look at those, is there a good fortune, or are you guys creating plays? Do you evaluate that level?
Well, I mean, we always try to aggressively attack the ball. So come back and look at him. Look like we knocked the ball off. You know, the receiver there on the first play. Look like we stripped a couple of balls. Made a good play on a wheel route. I don't know. Maybe they dropped it. Maybe we punched it out. I don't know. It was close, and they made a nice play on that. So. Thought Deron made a good play on the ball. So, yeah, look, if you get an opportunity, you got to take advantage of it. So that's the main thing. You get an opportunity, you defensively need to take advantage of it. And those dropped interceptions or missed fumbles or plays like that, I mean, are just foul balls. And those can be game-changing plays. So when you get a chance to make them, you need to make them. And, you know, we look like we made most of them.
Bill, how valuable is a preseason game like this to evaluate or get a lot of looks, different looks along the offensive line? Obviously, Marcus got a good look at left tackle tonight, along with Nate and the second half as well.
Right. Well, we got a lot of plays tonight offensively. I think we had, you know, 50-some last week and 90-some this week. So it was almost not quite two games, but it was a lot of snaps. So, you know, that's a good evaluation. I think the week of practice was a good evaluation for the offensive line, but the whole entire team, as well as the scheme and teamwork and situation work that we did, the individual, you know, one-on-one pass rushes and things like that. We got a lot of good evaluations all week and then in the game. So it was productive.
So you've had 38 minutes of possession, converted 7-10 in the first half.
Yeah, I mean, it's good to have the ball. You know, we had it, and, you know, part of it is because they ran it back for a touchdown. Then the turnover happened quick, so, you know, some of it was circumstantial. We could have taken advantage of our opportunities a little bit better, but you're right, we did possess the ball. We did convert some third downs, so, yeah, those are good. Malcolm, he works hard every day. He competes hard. Let's say he's played a lot of snaps in these first two games and a lot of snaps in practice, but he competes hard every day. I don't know. I think we were productive, you know, for the most part offensively, and again, that's all 11 guys out there, so, you know, everybody's got to do their job, but I thought that all three quarterbacks, you know, handled themselves pretty well. I mean, there weren't a lot of major problems. Okay, great. Thank you.
Patriots head coach Bill Belichick after the win over the Eagles tonight at Gillette Stadium. 855-PATS-500 is the phone number. It's the postgame show presented by Xbox One right here on Patriots.com. We're going to continue with your calls. We're going to hear from the quarterbacks that played in tonight's game, including Tom Brady, what he had to say about some of the things that he had happen when he was in the game, including the pick six, the touchdown to Kenbrell Tompkins. He also had some comments about all the flags being thrown in the game tonight. So we'll hear from Tom Brady coming up just a couple of minutes from now. Mike's in Florida. He's up next here on Patriots.com. Hi, Mike.
How you guys doing?
Doing well. What do you got?
Got some questions about the running backs. First off, I was
telling your producer that I was actually I'm from Niceville, Florida, where Roy Finch went to high school, so I got to see him play in high school. Back, and I'm just wondering, watching him on his returns, does he have a legitimate shot of making a team in that kind of making a team in that kind of role?
Yeah, I would say if he makes the team, it would be in that kind of role. I mean, that's I'm not seeing him as being ready to be a third down back yet. We saw him really miss a block for an assignment tonight in pass protection. If he has incredible quickness, I think his ability to cut is really good. He's a tough guy to get in space. So kick returns. He had some ball security issues in the first week. Tonight, I thought he was a little bit better. He certainly didn't put the ball on the ground. Made some plays. He's a guy who's shown up. He flashes. He's so fast and so quick. I don't think he's quite ready. I don't think he's going to make the roster. But if he does, it's going to be in that capacity, I would think.
Right, and it'll be the typical Belichick. Any role that he gets will expand from there. Okay, he's active as a kick returner. Now he's the extra third down back, whatever. Maybe he gets a couple touches there, maximizes those, which I thought he did a pretty good job tonight. I thought he ran well. But I'm still dubious that he is going to be on the team. But, you know, it's just two straight weeks. He was the first kick returner out there, and Boyce has done nothing.
And we've talked about Boyce's, should be renting and not buying.
Sure. Just as kickoffs. I mean, can't catch the ball, penalties.
Not here, yeah, I mean, this was a typical Boyce game again tonight. He makes a nice run on an end-around, follows that up with a nice catch and run, and then he had an opportunity to make a catch on a long ball when they were coming out of the end zone right after the goal line stand. Ball hit him in the hand. I wouldn't call it a drop, but if you're special, like Andy likes to say that all the time, you make that catch.
He's not special.
He didn't. He had another play where he had his hands on a pass that was behind him. It was a bad throw.
Catch the ball.
Got to catch the ball. He didn't.
That I'm probably like everyone else who's been watching Steven. He just looks like he's played himself out of a job. It wasn't a fumble, but still putting the ball on the ground. I mean, that just I'm just not confident in seeing him as who you just want to keep giving the ball to time after time.
I would agree with that, except that there's not a great option. If there were a legitimate backup option here, I think Ridley could be playing himself out of a job, but Brandon Bolden is now going to be your lead back, or James White is going to be your lead. I don't know that you have a lead back.
By default, he's going to be the guy.
Right.
I mean, unless you come up with something a lot better than what you have on the roster right now.
And when he's good, he can be good. He can be productive. He can have a nose for the goal line. He can, you know, I mean, what did he have, like a dozen touchdowns a couple years ago and then another?
He's been a touchdown guy.
Last year?
He had a good amount of touchdowns last year. This is a good offense. He's going to get opportunities in the red zone.
Yeah, but the problem is he has a nose for the goal line, but generally you don't think of as the guy you want as your goal line back as the guy who has fumbling problems, because there's nothing worse than ending a drive at the three because you fumbled and the other team's going the other way and you get no points out of it.
It's true.
Dave's in Connecticut. He's up next. Hey, Dave.
Hey, guys. How's it going? I said we're two games into the preseason here, and we have no major injury concerns, which is a kudos to the training program and the way the guys are playing. I think our number ones, against our number ones today, definitely outshined them. I agree with the caller from Florida, but I do think Ridley's playing this. I mean, even though it wasn't a fumble, putting the ball on the ground, okay, I mean, do you think Belichick's now seriously going to start looking maybe to bring somebody else in that position?
Yes, we talked about that pregame, and I think there is going to be an opportunity for somebody who's out there to have a job in New England down the road some point.
But I think that's going to be somebody in addition to Ridley, not instead of.
Right. But you never know.
No, listen.
What about a trade?
Remember
when they traded Lawrence Maroney?
I thought he would be a great candidate to trade at some point.
But you got
to
get a back.
Exactly. At some point in the spring.
But what if you just sign?
Heading in.
What if you just sign Ben Jarvis Green Ellis and then you trade Ridley for a tight end or whatever?
I don't think that would be the. Matter of fact, I think someone on PFW in Progress suggested a trade with Ridley. And normally we just sort of, can we trade Mallett to Arizona for Larry Fitzgerald? That's the kind of trade scenarios we generally get. Probably not unlike what you guys get in the hub every day. Trading Ridley is not the dumbest idea I've heard. He's entering the last year of his contract. He's got some talent, so someone might be willing to take a flyer on him. He has the ball security issues, which you know any coach would be get driven crazy by, but Belichick in particular.
We'll trade him to Houston.
Trade him to Houston.
I don't know. We traded Maroney to Denver when Josh was there, so I figure we'll trade him to Billy O'Brien.
Was that Josh was there when we traded Maroney to?
I was pretty sure it was Josh that made that trade.
Huh. I didn't remember that.
Because he was still listening to his brother saying he's good.
Oh, okay.
Good call.
Good call. Good
so
call.
Now maybe, yeah, 3 years ago. Oh, no, 2 years ago.
Okay, what? Yeah. Voices in the head.
Well, Ridley's good season didn't come under O'Brien. His second year, his 1,200-yard, 12-touchdown season came under McDaniels.
Right.
Okay. Maybe we can't sell him off on because they could use a backup to that DB they call Arian Foster.
Yep. We went over that in the pregame.
I actually, it's weird. Usually on cable, like you say the worst words later at night, I called him a douchebag at 5:15 and called him a DB at midnight.
Yeah, it's interesting how you did that. Now that we're in the safe harbor hours. Now you tighten them up.
Wait, can I say anything I want now?
Well, first of all, we're on the internet, so you can always say whatever you want.
No, because we're on Robert Kraft's internet, so I cannot always say
whatever. LRC, my friend.
I'm talking strictly in the legal sense, in the FCC sense.
Well, if we're going to go down that road,
sense.
Quick side topic here. Dave Stewart was here this week watching practice with Tony La Russa. Did you know that?
I saw the La Russa thing, yes.
In proving to a coworker upstairs that Dave Stewart was like a name he should know because he had never heard of Dave Stewart, I came to the realization.
Why was Dave Stewart here, though?
He was with Tony La Russa. Tony La Russa was his manager. Tony La Russa's buddies with Belichick.
I get that part. I just don't know how Dave Stewart automatically got the invite, too.
I assume he's friends with La Russa because he was his manager. More importantly, though, Dave Stewart clearly was part of the steroid-using Oakland A's. Because he went from a 10-4 best season, and those 10 wins came for like three different teams, to 20 wins, 21 wins, 22 wins, 22 wins, 4 years in a row, when he just happened to arrive in Oakland at the age of 30. Is that normal?
Yeah,
He
really took off at the age of 30. I'm looking at it now.
In Oakland. Like, that's asinine.
You know, it's funny.
He becomes the poster child.
Beadle had the same impression that I did. It makes you look at it right now, and it makes total sense. He's a steroid guy.
Yeah.
Never once thought of it that way.
Right.
But he was a journeyman who all of a sudden hit his stride when he came into contact with the biggest cheater, perhaps, in the history of baseball, and Tony La Russa, and Dave Duncan, and all of a sudden, what do you think that was all Canseco's doing? He started it all?
No, I like Canseco.
There's a program there, because it traveled from Oakland to St. Louis. So, clearly, this is where the guy became a perennial 20-game winner. I mean, it's circumstantial. It's Felger-like.
I mean, he was struggling to, like, stay in the league.
Yes.
If you look at...
Then he became an ace.
If you remember the narrative on him, he was a little bit wild. Not wild as a pitcher, but off the field.
This is totally off topic.
He was undisciplined, and all of a sudden he harnessed it under Tony La Russa and Dave, because he learned how to eat, you know, skinless chicken. Yeah.
Anabolic steroids is what it's called.
Totally off topic. He was here this week.
I know. At age 30, listen to this. From the time he was 30 until he was 30, let's say 35. Ready? Here's the number of games started in those years. 37, 37, 36, 36, 35, 31. Prior to his 30-year-old season where he started 37, the most he had started was 27, right? That was once. And then behind that, it was 17.
Well, because when you're not juiced up, it's hard to start that.
In like 9 years in the league. Wow.
See? Bring that to your boy Felger for him to use.
It's a good one, though. He was a big dude, though.
Yeah, because he was on steroids.
We should have suspected something.
And he had an anger problem. He stared people down. It's called roid rage.
They perfected it. Whatever they were doing, they perfected it.
Canseco, McGuire, Dave Stewart, all these guys.
Okay, now we can probably get back to the Patriots.
Henderson.
Come on.
Another great one.
Bob Welch, where's he now?
A lot of guys that were on that team with Tony La Russa.
You got guys dying in the 50s like they're ex-Steelers. Surprise? No.
It's a good take.
You know what's funny? What? Never thought of the Bob Welch one either.
I mean, he's dead.
I know he's dead.
Hello.
I know he's
he
dead.
He played for the A's.
He's
dead now.
Bob Welch was an unbelievable flamethrower as a kid with the Dodgers.
No, I'm not saying all his talent, but why is he dead at the age of 52 or something?
Yeah. Heart
As
attack.
I said, he's
yeah,
like
57. He had a heart attack at 57. That's not that crazy.
I always think
it's pretty
those,
young.
I always think
well, yeah,
those,
but
it's probably too much chicken, Andy.
There are plenty of guys at 57 years old who have died of a heart attack.
And there's plenty of them that take steroids that are 57 years old
well,
and died of heart attacks. And they played for either the A's or the Steelers.
Come on, he's dead.
Forget the Chargers. Leave him alone.
And the Chargers.
Leave the guy alone.
Okay, let's get back to the Patriots.
All right, let's go back to the Patriots.
Clean
let's,
team.
Let's go back to the Patriots. And
we'll get criticized for that at some point. You watch.
What? For what?
What we just talked about.
Talking about La Russa?
Oh, no. Oh. I don't care about that.
Let's talk.
He personally ruined my favorite sport with his nonsense.
Let's talk about the Patriots quarterback, their first quarterback, Tom Brady, number 12. He stepped to the podium just a short time ago, and here's what he had to say.
Second,
how are you doing, guys?
How are we going to get into a game or what?
Yeah, it's fun being out there. It's a, sitting on the sideline like last week isn't nearly as fun. So getting out there and getting a chance to play a little bit is great. It's a great experience for me and fun to be out there with my teammates. So I enjoyed it.
What happened on the touchdown pass and what happened on the interception? Start with the interception first.
It's just miscommunication. So, it happens, and I'm glad it happens in the preseason. So, that's one thing about offense football is all 11 guys have to be on the same page. So, those are the things we're all trying to work to correct. And on the touchdown, the more positive side is KT made a great catch. So I got so much confidence in him and what he's been able to do and continue to achieve for us has been great. So hopefully there'll be a lot more of those.
When you look at the four guys, when you went four lives early, it was Amendola, Edelman, LaFell, Tompkins. Each of the two are paired up as similar, but they do have unique abilities. Is it when you go up, you must say, okay, I can get a matchup with any of these guys at the confidence level?
Yeah, they all have some different skill sets to allow them to get open in different ways. So, we haven't done a lot of that this year, but I think all the skill guys are going to have to play a big part of our team this year. This isn't, it's not just going to be one group out there all game. Everyone who is out there is going to have to contribute. Everyone who's on the roster at the game is going to have to contribute. So it was great to see all those guys in there all making plays and, it's just the way it needs to continue to be for us. It was good. Yeah, the time of possession was good. The first quarter we had the ball most of the first quarter, which is always great, especially at home. And, a lot of that is converting third down. So those are real critical points in winning the game. And it was good tonight to be able to do that. And the score got kind of crazy there at the end, but I'm glad we came out and won then.
I like all the flags.
I know there's a lot of them, so they stood up here in front of us and told us they were going to throw a lot of them, and they sure did. So who knows if it'll continue, but they're calling things pretty tight, and I think Coach always says do business is being done. So if they're going to call it tight, then we got a few extra opportunities out of it. They got a few extra opportunities out of it. It's going to be who plays the smartest, I guess.
Touchdown pass to KT. Is that on both you guys? You get bump and run on the outside. Can that either go to the fade or is that face off that you call? Or is that on both you guys? He's got to read that.
Yeah, we're both reading it the same way. So I think a lot of it's us being on the same page. And, KT's really instinctive player. He's made a lot of those catches, especially in that corner of the end zone, over his first, year here. So.
Remind a little bit of Deion? Kind of the backside, X guy, into the boundary.
Yeah, a little different player than Deion, but, KT has a lot of strengths. There's no doubt about it. It's just, for any young player, it's always just continuing to get better and make improvements. And that's every veteran player, too. That's everybody. We're always trying to get better. So really just becoming dependable and consistent for the team is what everyone's really trying to be.
Going back to the flags, does it make it hard to get a flow? I mean, you guys love running the up-tempo offense. Game stopped every other play. How hard is that for you?
Yeah, I think if they're going, if they're helping us, then I don't have any problem with it. I think when we keep going backwards, it's like, that happened to us a few times. We got ourselves out of long yardage situations on both drives that I was in there. And you're right. It's hard to overcome first and 25 or second and 25 or second and 20, whatever. And we found a way to do that tonight, but I don't think you want to really exist in that. Because it's impossible to be a good offense doing that. You're just, the percentages are so slim if you look over the course of the league of, teams that convert on second and 20s. And so I think penalties are normally drive killers. And You know, there's a lot of drives tonight that, you know, we kind of got away with, but, you know, I don't think that'll last too long.
Is it nice to see a bunch of backs if you want to pick up really slow, the way they're doing tonight?
Yeah, they're all running hard and you know, I'll find ways to contribute. So they've all got opportunity and, you know, it's great competition. It brings out the best in everybody. So it's only our second preseason game. We still got two more to go, and we got a couple of real strong weeks of practice we need. You know, but every day it's just closer and closer to the opener. So we got to, you know, use every day to the best, you know, to use it the best way we can.
Not that you want to throw an interception, but when you do, is it almost a good thing that you get a chance to go right back out there and sort of, you know, knowing that you're going to have a limited workload tonight, just
want
to get right back out and start working?
Yeah. It is. It's great being right back out on the field. So I was just happy we were able to go down and score a touchdown. You know, we had a good drive there, going there to start the game. And then you know, I showed a little mental toughness getting the touchdown there on the second drive. So that was great.
Tom, quick observations on Ryan and Jimmy. I know it's...
Yeah, they're very talented players, so it's fun for me to watch them. I see how hard they work in practice, so for them to get the opportunity, they both did a great job. So, you know, it's about doing the best you can on every play. It's making the right calls, making the right reads, making the right decisions, and, you know, we can always do better. It's certainly not a game of perfect, but it was good enough to win. Thanks, guys. See you later.
Patriots quarterback Tom
Who's
Brady.
Highest percentage?
Did that go out on the broadcast?
No. We can keep that one.
It's an off-air baseball discussion.
We're continuing to talk
little baseball
steroids.
Talk.
I didn't have your mic on.
Oh, thank you. Little baseball talk here in the off-air program. 855-PATS-500 is the phone number for you if you want to jump on board prior to the end of this program, which is quickly approaching. You're running out of time, so you might want to get on board. It's been a long night.
I wasn't aware
telling
of
me.
Time, whatever.
Long night.
Why don't you try doing 7 hours of live radio and television?
Our guy.
7.5 tonight because of the flags.
Our guy Nick in Miami is back on the line. What's up, Nick?
Hey, guys. How you doing? I sent you an email if you could get back to me so we don't waste time now on my questions. I watched the game on the NFL Network, so yeah, I'm supposed to be the biggest Patriot fan of all time. I don't know diddly squat now that I really got into all this technical stuff, but tonight I'm going to have to deal with the NFL Network. Do you know they cut the game off, and they cut off you, Paul, and Andy, who were fantastic? I never knew that you were on like that, and I got to get the app or whatever, but do you know they cut the last few minutes of the game off?
Yeah, someone let us know that in the fourth quarter, I guess they broke away, but we also didn't make it all the way to the end of the game anyway. It was about, about 4 minutes left.
That's my point of the jealousy of the Mark, Paul, Andy thing. With all the haters out there, like they hate the Patriots and whatnot.
Even you laughed.
I'm sorry, Nick. I couldn't keep a straight face on that one.
But you hear a stupid player making a dumb comment about something that happened years ago that really doesn't mean anything. Here's where I go. I wanted to just comment on the game and be succinct here, but
yeah, what do you got on the game?
Here's my point, though. I love it when you diversify. So the steroid thing, that's great. The only thing I can say about that, I'm glad you brought it up, but Roger Clemens, he insults our intelligence, and that's that. And so he's a Fugazi.
All right, Nick, thanks for the call.
Is that a bad word?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Phony.
Oh.
I'm not sure if
Italian?
It is or it
yeah.
isn't.
Fugazi.
855-PATS-500 if you want to jump on board. Let's hear from the second quarterback who played in this game tonight. That
Seriously,
would be
can we go upstairs?
Jimmy Garoppolo. Here's Jimmy G.
You know, felt good going in this game. Had a good week of practice. You know, going against another team always brings out the competitive spirit in everyone. So I thought our whole team had a good week this week.
Happy with performance this week?
Practice?
Yeah. Well,
no, the game. Yeah, I mean, there's plenty of stuff to correct. I mean, I'm still a rookie, still learning as we go. So, you know, there's always going to be things to correct and whatnot, but, you know, overall a good game and good to get a W.
Jimmy, when did they tell you you were going to go in after Tom?
Kind of just threw me in there. It was kind of a last-minute thing, but, you know, you always have to be ready. Whenever your opportunity comes, you have to take advantage of it.
Jimmy, do you learn as much from the touchdown that you threw tonight as much as you do from the two-minute warning execution that maybe didn't go as well as you might have hoped?
Yeah, I mean, every opportunity you're out there, they're showing different things on defense. We're running different things on offense. So, I mean, they're all different opportunities to learn in different ways, really. So, every chance you get out there, you really have to take advantage of it.
Guys, one last question.
Yeah, I mean, we were clicking well tonight. 250 yards rushing, I think it was. So, I mean, as a whole, that's great. I mean, it shows how we're getting tougher as a group, and, you know, those guys did a great job tonight.
All right, guys, thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
Jimmy Garoppolo after the game tonight. As we talked about earlier in the show, his stats probably made him look a little bit better than the way he played in this game.
Yeah, and I thought he did some nice things again. I think he has a grasp of what he's doing. He looks – it's really funny. He looks better in games than he does – in practice, but I did mention in the pregame show, Andy and I thought that he was better this week in practice than he had been. It started off slow on Sunday and Monday. I thought on Tuesday he was a little bit better. I thought he stepped into some throws, made some decisive reads, and he was much better in the hurry-up at the end of the practice against the Eagles than he had been the week before against Washington. But I do think he had a couple of, you know, the second touchdown, the one to LaFell in the back of the end zone, I don't think that was exactly how it was drawn up. And I thought he looked a little bit more like a rookie tonight than he did last week. But still, really nice, just some nice momentum he's building, I think.
855-PATS-500, 855-PATS-500, and webradio at patriots.com is the email address if you want to send your emails in. By the way, follow up on the San Diego trip, Andy. Barry writes in, Patriots tailgate expects the largest turnout for a road game ever.
Wow.
For the San Diego game.
And Barry knows his stuff. He's the one who organizes all that.
And you guys should come out during the week and stay through the game. You would be treated like rock stars. That's what Barry
says. That's generally what happens anytime we venture outside of the Bob's Discount Furniture Studios.
Oh, there you go.
Exactly. I go behind a rope.
LB writes in, I still don't have a clue what linebackers will be on the roster beyond the starters. Can Jimmy G play there, too?
No, he can't, as attractive as he may be. Darius Fleming is in the mix. We were talking about Steve Beauharnais tonight on that screenplay. Sniffed it out, saw him coming, couldn't make the play. I think he is going to find athleticism might be an issue. I'm not sure he's fast, quick enough, whatever it is. And, you know, you're a seventh-round pick for a reason. There are some limitations there. Special teams value comes into it. But I think Fleming and Beauharnais could be battling for one job. And it's interesting, one's kind of a middle inside linebacker, and Fleming has been playing outside linebacker here. Special teams, I saw Fleming on the first punt team early on. So I think that could come down to one of those two. And Chris White is not very good on defense.
Boy, he's struggling coverage tonight.
So he may earn a role as he was last year, which was a 16-game special teamer, but he's not really a backup linebacker. So there are some limitations there in terms of the depth, and obviously James Anderson right now is dealing with some sort of injury. I think he's your primary backup, Jimmy.
Turk writes in, Ryan Mallett has never been a good fit for the Patriots offense. We knew it the day they drafted him.
Yep.
He would be a better fit as a backup for the Ravens, Bengals, Steelers, or any team that isn't built to throw to small, quick guys less than 10 yards down the field. Garoppolo,
I agree with that.
Garoppolo is a much better fit, makes quick reads, gets the ball out quick, but I couldn't help but notice his throws outside the hash marks down the field look pretty wobbly.
They did. They wobbled and they were in the air a long time.
Wobbly balls.
And we were, you know, remember when we were analyzing his arm strength, I think in minicamp, even back then, when they were just in front of us and it was him, it was Brady, it was Mallett, and we're
good
watching
zip.
Just zip.
Good
actually,
zip.
That was the day Mallett wasn't out there when Mallett was hurt. So it was definitely mini camp. And he had good zip on, you know, just little normal 15-yard comebacks and things of that nature. But his arm strength, I don't think is, it's obviously not a high-end arm. I think he's got a strong enough arm. But when those, if you don't have an elite arm and it wobbles, it takes forever to get there because it doesn't have enough zip behind it.
And I do agree with the emailer's assessment. I think that Mallett has a big league arm that might be more conducive to one of those vertical passing offenses like Baltimore. Now, I think Baltimore might be changing a little bit with Kubiak this year to more of a screen game and things like that. But Flacco, Roethlisberger, and Andy Dalton in Cincinnati, they throw the ball down the field a lot to A.J. Green. I agree with him. Those are teams that might be more conducive to Mallett's skill
set. And everybody said it when he was drafted, that he wasn't a typical Patriots quarterback, which is why I still think he was drafted with the sole intention of developing him and trading him.
Well, that's the next sentence.
Which is the prime difference between him and Garoppolo. Garoppolo looks like a Patriots quarterback, and he comes later in the process, obviously, but he looks like a guy you develop to play here as opposed to just ship off like a talent Mallett is.
The next sentence in the email reads, the Pats thought they were getting a value piece that they could trade away for a higher draft pick, and they blew it. He also writes, as a side note, the refs were even more awful tonight than we're giving them credit for. Not only did they call too many hands to the face and illegal contact penalties, but they missed just about every other call on the field because they've become so obsessed with those two specific rules. Last point, I think Josh Boyce is gone unless he really pops in the next 2 weeks.
Could be.
I think he's in a lot of trouble.
He's done nothing.
I think if he stays, it's only because of health reasons.
And I still will continue to say, I don't think he's that fast.
There's no delay of game. We didn't let the team go because we were stretching out balls.
I don't see the spark that I see from other people. So and it's not like he's a second round pick. You're talking about a fourth round pick. Yeah. They get cut sometimes.
Joel in Connecticut wants to tell Paul to look at the camera more next time. He's trolling you. He said, I know Andy's head
I'd already said that tonight.
He said, I know Andy's head is distracting.
It's like Sputnik.
But please try
it's
to.
Like it's like the sun. You're drawn to it.
Please try to ignore it. Seriously, though, guys, great job, especially calling out the refs and their extremely annoying preseason flags.
It was annoying.
Not their fault, by the way.
It's not their fault, but it was annoying.
They are just employees like we are. They do their jobs. They follow instructions that they are given. Don't blame
Boring.
Them.
Boring.
I don't know what that means.
One email from Darius in London, emailing from the first time to the post-game show.
So is it morning there now?
Yep, they're ahead
Pretty
of
much,
us.
Huh? Like 6 hours ahead?
Yeah, it's morning.
Darius, top of the morning to you, Governor.
Darius actually just got home and flushed $100 down the toilet at the casino. So he lost some money at the casino.
That's not bad.
He said, I love Bill, but don't get me wrong. For the amount of time and emphasis he puts on special teams in the kicking game, is it me or are we just not very good in the third phase of the game?
Oh, that's another down.
We mentioned that in the down. Special teams we mentioned.
No, but Steven Gostkowski clunked the upright on a PAT and missed a field goal.
Missed a field goal.
That's correct.
So put that on the down list as well.
I just did.
Then put it on the down list.
Are we going to hear from Ryan Mallett before we get out of here? Let's hear from quarterback Ryan Mallett now.
Okay,
it's
Captain
a totally
Morgan.
Defense, you know, they got a good team. It was closer to the end. You know, we got a big stop there, and then we moved the ball out and ran the clock out. The offensive line did a great job right there in that last series as far as moving the ball. There was big holes for the running backs to see and get through there. So, you know, it's credit to them.
What about you always talk about being ready and being ready at a moment's notice. When you get that big turnover to start the second half and go right out on the field, what's going through your head?
Go score. You know, add to the lead. Get your team in better position for the fourth quarter.
Did you feel like you were more in rhythm today as opposed to –
I felt normal. I felt like I do when I play. You know, it doesn't change too much. Obviously, when you get in a rhythm where you can hit a few in a row, and it's not, you know, every once in a while you feel better about it. But, you know, I felt good. We had guys make plays that, you know, helped me out for sure. So that's what teammates are for.
After last week, you took a little bit of a beating outside of this room from the public. How'd you handle that?
Oh, I didn't hear anything about it. That's you guys. I'll let y'all handle that. I'll just do my job.
Stays healthy.
Oh yeah, you know, I got a little rest in. Was able to go. I was ready to go, and like I said, when they call my name, I'd be ready, and I was ready to go tonight.
Did you feel good about the way you played?
Yeah, I want to go watch the film, obviously, to really evaluate. But I felt good coming off the field, and that's important. But you know, I'm ready to go watch the film, you know, here in a little bit. So,
as a quarterback, does it make a difference to you? The offensive unit gets different looks on the line. The offensive line now has had a lot of different offensive linemen.
Right. Well, that's what practice is for. You prepare for those looks that you're going to see, and what you might not see, you just follow your rules. And those guys did a great job. I'm telling you, just from the back end, you can see some big holes open up, and those guys hit them. And, you know, we had some pretty big gains there in the fourth quarter.
That is quarterback Ryan Mallett after getting into the second half tonight and taking over as the third quarterback in this game. Ryan Mallett played one of his better preseason games, I thought, tonight, but I'm down on Mallett. down on Mallon.
Well,
overall.
I figured you were all upset because he played well.
Not upset about it.
Well, you said in the pregame show one thing you didn't want to see was Ryan Mallett play well.
I phrased it wrong. I didn't say I wasn't like I was rooting against the guy.
Nah, that's what you said.
Felt like it.
I'm down on Ryan.
Does that make
Mallett.
Him a bad guy, Paul?
Yeah.
Yeah. And in this case, yeah.
I never root against anybody.
I mean, you know, it's not quite as bad as Fred rooting for the other teams to get hurt the way Fred usually does. But, you know, just openly rooting for a guy to fail, I don't know.
Did we talk about Joe Valano on
Maloney.
Here?
I don't think so.
In my many multimedia stops, I don't know where I did. Joe Valano played a lot tonight, starting at right defensive end in the 3-4 and then moving inside to the nose after Will Fork left. He's a guy that I think is right on that cusp of on the team, off the team, versatility, the defensive line. They just added two guys. Paul's guy, Worthy, where does he fit in? Dominic Easley, where does he fit in? And I think Valano, I thought, showed a little more burst in athleticism tonight than I generally give him credit for.
Put him on your good list.
I just did.
All right, good. Just making sure that he's officially on the list. That's all.
I like him. He's a nice man.
All right, very good. That just about does it for us.
Are you kidding me?
Already?
Just about does it.
Oh, thank God.
So not it doesn't do it. It's just about does it.
Just about does it. We'll be back next week.
Now it does it. Here's the music.
We'll do it next week. A week from now, Patriots at home again against the Carolina Panthers.
Bob's Discount Furniture.
I
got to
tell you, I'm
rocking.
Really, really looking forward to the regular season version of this.
Yeah.
This is going to be a lot of fun in the regular season.
Oh, yeah.
Season.
Yeah. Preseason, we're just kind of.
At 1 o'clock in the morning, it's not as fun.
In the morning? You're going to do an old Irish lady.
But like for a
1 o'clock
game,
in the morning?
I have to go to the bathroom.
For a 1 o'clock game, and we come on here at, let's say, 4:15.
Oh, tremendous.
And there's other games going on.
Tremendous.
I didn't even think of that. You're not going to get my full undivided.
Right, so you get to talk about. I mean, it becomes just a straight-up football show. We're talking about the game that just happened.
Hell yeah.
Games that are going on right now.
Talk some football, damn it.
Let's do it. All right, for Paul Perillo, Andy Hart, I'm Mark Bertrand. Thanks for listening to the Xbox post-game show. That's the Xbox One post-game show. Xbox One, not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. Giving you personalized fantasy news, highlights, stats, and scores across multiple leagues instantly on your TV. It's Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to life, now available for $3.99 in a Microsoft store near you. We'll be back next week. Thanks for listening. Good night.
This has been the Xbox One Patriots postgame show with Mark Bertrand on Patriots.com radio.
Out of the I formation with Devil in the fullback for Ridley, who takes the handoff, started up the middle, runs it right. A foot race to the five. Ridley's going to win it to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots!
Next Friday, the Patriots host Cam Newton and the Carolina Panthers. Kickoff is set for 7:30 p.m. Be sure to log on to Patriots.com to tune in to the Xbox One Patriots postgame show with Mark Bertrand immediately following the game.
Brady with a check with me on a 3rd and 4 from the 10. Brady in the pocket has time to the end zone. Touchdown Patriots! Edelman has it!
For more news, analysis, and reaction to today's game, tune into Patriots.com radio all week long. Log on to Patriots.com anytime for the most up-to-date news and information on your favorite team. We look forward to hearing from you on the next edition of the Xbox One Patriots postgame show.